Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, of Leaving the Ring Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Gabriel Montoya, and the man behind the switchboard is Mr. David Chen. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody enjoyed this past weekend. I mean, hell of fights there were on, and you know what? There was no disappointment. All the fights were really, really good. The only one that didn't play out, which I was hoping, I mean, it was a decent scrap. It was a fight worth talking about, mentioning. I'm pretty sure, even though the crowd seemed to die out of on it over there in Las Vegas, Ponce de Leon and Johnny Gonzalez, right when it started to get good, the headbutts. Well, obviously, that's an obvious thing when you got a lefty and a righty going at it. Both guys, though, showing tremendous skills. Both guys showing that, you know, patience is the key, and both guys were trying to, you know, dictate the fight with their game plan. So, but it didn't end with a knockout. It did start getting really interesting. It did show that there could have been some late explosion. Ponce de Leon was starting to show a little bit more aggression, and he was starting to show that he was able to really, you know, get his right hand down that middle and catch Johnny Gonzalez. And here's the thing, is that having one of the best trainers in the world out of Mexico, Nacho Bernstein, we don't know if there would have been an adjustment. I'm thinking there would have been an adjustment that would have made Ponce be a little bit more aggressive than he kind of was in the fight, you know. We were expecting a little bit more fireworks from the beginning. But at the same time, I wasn't too upset seeing that both these guys, both professionals, both guys have been working on their crafts, not automatically being engaging. You know, that wasn't very surprising to me. I kind of figured they were going to try to fill each other out. I kind of figured that both guys were going to go, you know what, let me hold off for a bit here. And they did. So I'm going to plug in my co-host, Mr. Gabriel Montoya, and we're going to talk about the Las Vegas scene. Sergio Martinez, Julio Cesar Chavez, Canelo Alvarez, everybody that was out there, Josecito Lopez, you name it, they were all there, and it was a hell of fights that were happening there. So as soon as I get homeboy in, and let me throw down my pad here, my tablet in that case, and then we'll continue talking on here on Leaving the Ring. 347-215-7598. Let's talk some boxing here on Leaving the Ring. 347-215-7598. You can speak to myself, Dave Duenas, and my co-host, Gabriel Montoya, as soon as we can get him in. Gabriel, you there, brother? No, he's not there. So we'll try him again right now here on Leaving the Ring. If you want to call in, let's talk some boxing. Tell me what fight you thought that was explosive. Chino Madonna, great fight with Soto Karas. We're going to have Soto Karas on in a little short bit, and he can tell us what he thought about that fight, that stoppage. You know, he didn't complain about the stoppage, but he sure did. He put up a fight. Let's be honest here. You know, he had Madonna hurt at the same time. And I'm sorry, I'm being distracted. Everybody's texting me all at once. I'm trying to get, you know, everybody on. But we'll see what happens here. Anyways, going back with that fight with Madonna, you know, I got to give it to the guy. I honestly said that he was going to be a lot smaller. Too small for him, you know. I said that, you know, Soto Karas has got the poor man version of Antonio Margarito, and he did. You know, he kept muscling in. But at the same time, I was wondering how well he was going to be able to take those shots from Chino Madonna. Hey, you know the thing that kind of tripped out just a bit here at 140. Was it just me? But did Marcos seem a bit slow at 140? And at 147, he looked a lot quicker, a lot bigger. You know, so I don't know. I just thought that was a bit weird. Let me tell Gabriel, he He needs to call me, and I can't seem to get him on. Anyways, he seemed quicker, but at the same time, he had a much bigger guy coming at him in Soto Carras, and with that much bigger body coming forward, he had to take some rounds off, and that was really the smart thing for him to do, because he was dishing out a lot of power, and he was trying to take his head off, but at the same time, I think he knew and he understood, and I got to be honest with you, being with Robert Garcia, we saw a little bit more movement, hand speed. Anyways, I'm sorry. I was clicking over for Gabriel, and for some reason, it just doesn't want to let him on the show here. So I got to figure out how to get Gabriel Montoya here on the line with us and see what I can do here. But it's not letting Mr. Montoya on here on the show. So just bear with me just for a quick minute. I just got this brand new laptop, so I'm trying to figure out how to get him on. I told him to be on here earlier, but of course, running late. So now I got to figure out how to get him on the show. Unless, Dave, can you do it for me? Can you get him on for us here on Leaving the Ring, since you're on Skype as well? You there, Mr. David Chen? So I can continue on here with the show. Anyways, going back with Chino Marcos Madonna. And like I said, to me, he seemed a lot quicker. You know what? For a guy like Soto Carras and being able to drop him and hurt him just made that 147 just that much more interesting. And even at that same time, you know what I was thinking is Robert the Ghost Guerrero jumped up in weight. He jumped up in weight so he could chase after Floyd Mayweather Jr. Well, guess what? You know, even with that injury, that shoulder injury that he had to pull out when it was set for him and Madonna to fight in San Jose at the HB Pavilion, and Robert calling himself the Ghost, he's got a ghost after him. Chino's, he's not going to be able to shake off Madonna that easily. You know, he left that 140 division. He decided to go 147, and guess what? Madonna just followed right behind, and he just made it that more interesting. And he looked quicker, like I said. He looked a little bit more mobile. He was using the jab, and his power definitely just jumped up with him. So, to me, it just spells, hey, they should do it. You know, I know that Guerrero jumped up. He's got a title belt. This makes perfect sense. Here's a guy that a lot of folks thought that he was ducking. A lot of guys, you know, a lot of people were thinking that, you know what, why didn't he just stay at that division and finish unfinished business with Madonna? One of the big punchers at 140, one of the most exciting fighters at 140. You know, and I had wrote him off. I kind of just kind of threw him under the table thinking that, you know what, he's becoming a warhorse. He's slowing down, but he showed me signs at 147. He looks a bit more fresh. And I know some folks say Soto Carras, well, come on, you know, there's a guy. Talk about a warhorse. Talk about a warrior. Talk about a guy that takes a lot of shots to the face. Should we be excited? Should we, you know, look past what Soto Carras has been, what he's done in his career? But he's fought some really stellar fighters out there that you can't write them off. I wouldn't write them off. I honestly would love to see a rematch between those two because I think they stole the whole show along with Miguel Beltran and Rocky Martinez. That was a great fight. But before I steer away from Madonna and Soto Carras, with that knockout, with that stoppage, with a ref jumping in and saving Soto Carras, which I still thought that he was coherent. I still thought he was able to still continue, but only him and that ref. Actually, just himself. He didn't dispute it. But he showed that if, to me, he showed in the past, if he can continue, guess what? He'll continue. But he wasn't given that shot. He wasn't given that chance. So it was left to, well, where do we go from here now for Chino? What do we do? I say he should be able to call out, honestly, Robert the Ghost Guerrero. Unfinished business. You know, they're always putting those labels, those real corny headlines. There it goes, right there. Unfinished business. The business we never got to. A ghost chasing a ghost. Something in those lines right there. I love to see those two mix it up. Really would like to see what would happen if they got into the mix. Anyways, fight fans, you want to call in 347-215-7598. You certainly can here on Leaving the Ring. I'm trying to get a hold of Mr. Gabriel Montoya, my co-host. But I got this new laptop. I don't think I just hooked it up and it's not allowing me to get him on. I don't know why. I'll try it one more time. Say it's ringing, but it's not connecting to him. Anyways, we got a few people scheduled here for Leaving the Ring. We got Mauricio Herrera, who's going to be fighting Kareem Mayfield from the Bay. Kareem Mayfield guy's a big puncher. He's got a beautiful overhand right. He does mimic, though, the old of Shane Mosley. Mauricio Herrera is just one of those tough guys that was, he's a product of the Thompson Promotions. You know, all heart, comes forward. He was originally supposed to fight Mike Alvarado, but Mike Alvarado is going to be facing Brandon Rios, which is another good fight. Gabriel, I got you with me, brother?
I think you do. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. It finally went through.
Huh. I missed you. I missed you so much. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm just, like I said, I got this just not even an hour old laptop, and I hooked it up, and I was trying to get a hold of you so I can make sure I can patch you through. And I think it just took – I think it just had to take a little while to kind of figure it out.
You know, it was just hard work dedication, Dave. I was finishing up my miles. Sorry, I'm running a little late, but you know, I had to hit the gym late today, but I had to get it in and then do about 3 miles of running. And so I'm here now. Hard work, dedication.
You know, I was talking about Chino Marcos Madonna against Soto Kuras and Jesus Soto Kuras. And you know what I was saying was that and you tell me what you think. Was it me or did this kid look a lot quicker at 147 than he did at 140?
Yeah, you know, he was a lot more fluid. A lot of people said it was kind of rock 'em sock 'em robot, and it was, you know, that kind of fight where they were just laying into each other. And I think Maidana's power isn't quite what it was at 140. That and Soto Kuras is just a little badass.
Well, that's the thing I was saying, though. I mean, honestly,
the fluidity and the speed I thought was better. He looked more agile, didn't he? Like, he kind of changed up his game throughout the thing. Sometimes he would slug, sometimes he would box, and he was kind of good at doing both of those things. It was a different Maidana than I'd ever seen, in my opinion.
It was a different one. It was almost like the transition of Lucas when he decided to kind of fine-tune his boxing skills and become more of a boxer-puncher rather than a brawler, because Madonna's always been known and looked at as a guy that brawls, you know, is a guy that's really not that intelligent. You know, he's just going to go forward and try to bang it out. But with Soto Kuras, he had to have a bit of a different strategy, and it really impressed me. And I was just mentioning this a little earlier when we were trying to get you on, was that here we had Robert the Ghost Guerrero from Gilroy, California, who had an injury, had to cancel the fight. And I don't know if I should call it skip out of redating that fight, but he definitely skipped out of that division to go chase after Floyd Mayweather. Well, he left a ghost behind, and that ghost followed him to 147. To me, now that Robert's got that belt and how impressive Madonna looked against Soto Kuras, I'm really interested in seeing these guys mix it up.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think that's it's a logical fight. It's a makeable fight because of the, you know, the Cold War or what have you. You know, the blockade between Golden Boy and Top Rank. I love that fight. Robert, you know, I think he would do well to go after guys that are like himself, that are kind of tweeners. He's going to have to be a boxer in that fight. You know, he's going to have to walk Maidana into things. Maidana's starting to show versatility to go with his power. I think he hits hard enough to get to Robert at some point. But Robert's got enough boxing skills and a nice jab to keep him away. And he's also got a slick southpaw style. It's a nice fight. Two guys that are kind of new to the weight class. That aren't exactly true welterweights, but are action fighters, and there's a belt involved with possibility of bigger money fights. I mean, there's no lose here, you know. I think you go right back to it, like you said.
Absolutely. If not, you know what? If Maidana has to wait, I think a lot of fans are in the same tune right now, in the same line of saying rematch. We want to see a rematch. I definitely want to see a rematch, you know, between these two.
I wouldn't mind it. You know, I thought the fight did end a little soon. You know, I thought it could have. Did you get that message I just sent you? Just checking on your new system.
No, I don't. Honestly, I don't even want to attempt to hit that up. If you want, you can hit me up on the talk.
On which? On the? Well, I put it on the Skype for you. Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
Because it's the numbers. We got to call Samson in right now. Unless we want to
just
call
text.
Him.
Can you text me?
Yeah. No problem at all. No problem.
All right.
But I think that was the other thing. I thought it was a quick call. I thought they pulled the plug just a little bit too soon. It wasn't like he was ragdolling in there. It wasn't like he took seven or eight shots and, oh my goodness, how is he going to survive this?
Right.
It was a good shot. He got he went down. He gets him on the ropes. But I just think in the kind of fight that it was, you know, it's a back and forth kind of thing. There was ebb and flow all through the fight. So to me, it just seemed like it was premature. Like I wanted to see more of a logical conclusion. I mean, maybe, you know, Soto Cross is starting to wear down and let's take, you know, pity on the guy.
Right.
But at the same time, I just feel like I wanted more. It was the best fight of the night. And you could go rematch with it, but I think Maidana's people would say, look, we got the win. Let's move forward a little bit. Let's go to a title shot. I think he's on the level of a Guerrero. He's competed on that level, certainly. Let's see them fight it out. It's classic boxer versus brawler. Let's do it.
Absolutely. And I'm going to try this really quick and see how I can make this work.
New systems.
New system.
Well, what a great time while you're figuring out your new system. I was in Vegas for the weekend, and I'll tell you, you know, in 7 years of covering fights in Vegas or at the top level, generally in Vegas, you get there these days anymore. The economy's kind of crashed a little bit, a lot. People don't have that Vegas money. This is one of the first times I've seen it just dead busy. I mean, ridiculous.
Oh, I bet.
Hello.
Hello, can we please speak to Mr. Sampson?
Speaking.
How you doing there, sir? This is Dave Duenas with Gabriel Montoya here on Leaving the Ring Radio.
Oh, how are you?
Good. I'll let my co-host go first. Go ahead, Gabriel.
Hi, Sampson. I set this up with Nathan. I'm just making sure that you're aware we're on the air and we had an interview scheduled at this time.
Yeah, Nathan is the boss. I'm only an employee now.
That's awesome. How things change over the years, right?
I follow instruction now with Nathan.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Before we even get into this, I got to tell you, I gotta know what happened at that weigh-in, because you were very animated, and with Fernando Beltran, who was the advisor and partial promoter to Julio Cesar Chavez. You guys had an exchange of words, and Samson, you look like you were ready to go, make it a first round, on Friday night. What happened?
No. If you see the situation, he passed the flag in front on the face of Martinez, and I believe I have the duty to defend it because he cannot slap his face, Martinez.
No,
this is what I tried to do.
I thought it was very disrespectful, and You're absolutely right. You know, you jumped in the middle, and I got to give you kudos for that because you had no fear in your eyes. You know, you were ready to duke it out yourself.
Well, it happened to me. I have experience. I got knocked out by Whitaker. And if you remember a few years ago when he fought Sultan Ibrahimov, I went straight to the hospital. I have knocked out by both of them when I stepped in the front. I mean, in the middle of the two. So I get used to that.
Right, right. You figured, well, you know what? I've been hit by, you know, a bigger man, so the guy's not going to make a big difference.
That's right.
From what I hear, it doesn't really hurt to get knocked out. You know, you just boom once and you're out.
Right.
You know, you don't even remember it. Well, first off, I have to congratulate you. You guys have come a long way with Sergio Martinez.
Yep.
It's, you know, nobody else believed in him. You were right there, Richard Atocha, and the Sarmiento brothers and Ludibella. You guys are the little engine that could. Can you talk to us a little bit about those beginnings and what you saw in Martinez early on and how you guys met up and just kind of a perspective. How did you get from there to here?
Well, I know Ricardo Sanchez Atocha, the former manager of Martinez, from 2001 when I had the first fight between Castillejo and Oscar De La Hoya. On the same time, I bring Manny Pacquiao from Philippines that he fought in the undercard. That started my relation with the management of Sergio Maravilla Martinez. Then through the years, and always he used to talk to me about it, and finally in 2007, I had the opportunity to fight against Saul Roman in an elimination bout for the mandatory for the WBC. And after, in that moment, the son of Sanchez Atocha, he tried to commit suicide.
Wow.
And he left the country, he left the States, back to Spain. And what I did is I work in the corner of Martinez. So, it was an unbelievable experience to work with Martinez in the corner. And we started our relation. And then I told him he fought one more time in Spain. And then we have Russell Jordan in the Bronx in a Paradise Theater. And everything started from them. And I know what I have. I have the next Manny Pacquiao. It took me from 2007, I would say, 2007 till now, which is 5 years, to accomplish my goal.
You know, I'm sorry, Gabe, go ahead.
I'm just curious, just to follow up to that. What is it that you look for? I mean, obviously, they're kind of similar. They're southpaws. They're speed-based fighters with power. Is that what attracts you, or is there something else that you see when you're looking at talent?
Well, I don't know why, but if you see my trademark, I discovered Manny Pacquiao.
Right.
I discovered Martinez, softball, and I have Javier Fortuna, that is a softball.
Right.
I have Gabriel Campillo. That
another
he got,
great fighter. Mm-hmm.
Great fighter that he got robbed. I mean, that he was this totally robbery in Texas. He looked like the old timer, the 1900s.
Right,
Texas.
Right.
Yes, seriously, a train. Yes, with the
I know, he need gun and whatever. So the point is that, yes, it happened to be that I go more for the softball because I believe that it have an advantage of the right-handed. But I cannot give you all my secrets because if not, what I do in the future.
Right. Well, you know, that's what I want. I'm glad you brought up the robbery because, you know, to me, you've been on the short end of decisions. You know, I think it was a string of a certain amount of times, you know, like with Sergio getting a draw where he should have had a win. You know, even from the kid that fought Guerrero in San Jose, which is, God, I have it in my head, his name. The Chino Latino, that's what you guys called him.
That was Jordan.
Jordan, right. And now even with Gabriel when he went in Texas, this win here, Samson, was it also just not a great win for Sergio Martinez, but at the same time, almost a great win for you because
I've said this before. You've been like the little guy fighting these giant promoters and not getting your just in due.
Well, everybody needs to pay his dues. I believe that I pay my dues daily to the boxing world. I believe that HBO, he owed me. And the reason I say the HBO owed me because I'm the one that I bring Manny Pacquiao when every big promoter on that time, like Bob Arum, like in that time it was Dan King and Dan Goosen and including Ludi Vela and Main Event, he say no to this kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that is the reason that I forced my promoter in that time, Murad Muhammad, that everybody wants to forget his name, but he listened to me in that moment and he bring Manny Pacquiao and then the rest is history. But the point is that millions of dollars he been dropped to HBO. And if I don't put my knowledge, and if I don't push my promoter in that time to get Manny Pacquiao, we don't have no stars beside Mayweather.
Right.
And the same thing with Martinez. No, the first one that I went is when he beat Saul Roman. I went to Top Rank and do you want it? Because you're given the shot, you pay a good amount of money for my guy to beat your guy. So I believe that you deserve to have this commodity. Told me, no, I'm not interested in Argentinians. Okay. So then I went to Golden Boy, and he told me, no, enough with the Argentinians. And then I went to Ludi Vela. But Golden Boy, I almost went to my knee and tried to explain that it's the next Manny Pacquiao.
Uh-huh.
And nobody listened to me. But Lou, he had the wisdom to listen to me. Even his own mom told him, when Samson talks, you need to listen. You can confirm that with Ludi Vela.
That's great. Yeah. Well, there's no way of disputing, you know, arguing with your mother. When your mother tells you to do something, you obviously got to follow through, you know.
That's correct.
So with the big win here, let me ask you, because a lot of fans, including myself, I don't think we need to see a rematch of Sergio Martinez taking a complete whooping over Chavez all over again. As his manager and advisor, what do you advise him to do next now that he has the belt that originally should have been strapped around his waist a long time ago, which was stripped from him by the WBC?
In this moment, sometimes it's dollar and cents. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't come up with a better challenger that he bring the money in the table. He said, 37 years old. I cannot go back and fight. I need to fight in pay-per-view. I cannot go back. And if I go back, it's for something very special that it will be in his own country.
Right.
That then HBO will take a championship fight. But if not, it need to be a pay-per-view commodity. And if anybody can find out an opponent with a pay-per-view commodity, I will recommend to do it. If not, listen, he got very upset. I don't know how long you want me in this program, but I believe that people need to know what happened after the fight. And when I took him to the hospital, I believe that is, you will understand more why the rematch is very possible.
Would love to hear it. I mean,
yeah,
love to hear it. Go for it.
You want to jump right away to that point?
Sure.
Why not?
Okay. After the fight, he went to a press conference, like always.
Right.
He didn't show that he's really hurt. And after that, I took him to the hospital. He was in the emergency room. He was bleeding very profoundly from the eye, and the nurse, he gave me some tissues to wipe him up his blood, and he told me that very soon he will come. So I start to clean his blood that he went to his ear, and he had a big gash in the head. And
wow!
So he told me, close the eyes. He opened the eyes, and was very close. Then he opened and he told me, Samson, what do you think about the fight? I said, listen, you know, I shit my pants on the 12th. So he told me, yes, I know. I got too cocky. I paid the price. I didn't see the hands, and I paid the price. But this is what happened. And I say to him, and how you get up after that unbelievable punch?
Right.
How you get up? He told me, God and 40 million Argentinians.
Wow.
And I say to him, my God, that is very profound. And he say, yes, but beside that, and it is so shameful to lose with a kid like Chavez Jr., that I prefer to die in the ring 10 times before I give up on him, because he doesn't deserve the victory.
Right.
And I want to get it back and beat him for 12 rounds this time. That is what he's saying. Because what he did, it was my mistake that he took advantage, and nobody take advantage of me. So he won to have that rematch himself, to prove that it was a mistake, the 12 rounds. And everybody thinking that if it happened in the first round or in the middle of the fight, it will finish by that he will win Chavez. This is the only reason that I believe. Then after the conversation, it continued that it really, if he doesn't have any other fight that it means something, he would like to fight in his own country and his own people. And I told him that I will discuss this with Lou. Then he came, the nurse, he saw, you know, the doctor saw the eye, and then he needed to put staples in his head. And he came the guy with the, like a staple machine, and he stapled one, and this guy started to scream like a baby. He said, oh, it hurts. I hate you. He said, you know. I said,
right.
He cursed him, the guy. He said, what's wrong with you people? You cannot put, you know, some anesthesia or something. He said, no, it's the same. It will be the same painful like before. So, but you need to do it another one. So, Sergio say, 1 second. If you need to put another one, give me 2 minutes. He concentrate in like a deep sleep, and he say, do it now. This man, he did it, and this. And Martinez, he didn't move his eyes. He took the whole pen. I don't know how painful it is, but he didn't move his eyes. And then he told me, you see what is the mind? Now, every boxer, he have that. When you see what is coming, you absorb the pen. When you don't see it, you get knocked down.
Right.
And that is the proof. He knows that it's coming something painful, so he absorbed all the pain.
Wow.
That is the story. That I believe that is a good one, at least for me.
Do you think, you know, I mean, he's a special guy. I've been around him. He is. He does things like that. I mean, his focus is, I'd never seen him this focused. Dave and I both remarked heading into it. His answers were short. He didn't want to talk too much about the fight. He was just more and more
right.
Focused as it got closer. But the physical price that he keeps paying for fighting these big guys, he's 37, he's got a lot of fights on him. I mean, this was a giant cruiserweight against a middleweight. Do you want to run up that mountain again and see if his body can make it to 12? Or do you think he would fight in a different manner this time around?
No, I really, I don't know who will be the next one. But one thing I can assure you, it will not be Andre Ward. And Andre Ward is a nice, wonderful human being that he understood. Not Mayweather, that he said, why he doesn't fight my boy.
Right.
You know, doesn't fight your boy because he's too big. And if you feel that you're too small for Martinez, why Martinez will not feel that he's too small for Andre Ward? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Andre, he recognized that he's too big, too strong. It'd be a mismatch. We need to know, you know, the limitation. This kid is a 54-pounder that they have no other solution to fight a middleweight because two reasons. Number one, because he's not in 54. Number two, because he's very proud to have the same belt that he have Carlos Monzon. Simple as is.
You know, I have to respect that a lot. You know, we don't hear that a lot in boxing with managers, promoters, or anything like that that admit, you know what, we're outclassed. We're just outgunned. There's no reason to try to even attempt it, even with the money behind that would generate. And I agree. You know, why go after Andre Ward? I think he's on a very stellar position of the way he's been going after particular fighters and taking advantage on fighters that have certain weaknesses. And I think that size difference is one of the big thing, you know. But with Martinez too, I wouldn't count him out if they were to meet, you know, because he's such a special fighter. And especially with Saturday night, I got to tell you, Samson, I picked him. We both picked him to beat Chavez, but we thought it was going to be a back and forth war. It just turned out to be a one sided win, except for that 12th round.
That's right.
Let me ask you this: you know, a lot of people said the 12th round, you know, changed everything. That now we could talk about a rematch because of the way it ended. But now that we've also had like the prologue or the epilogue of him testing positive for marijuana, does that change the dynamic of the rematch, if you even are thinking? I know you don't want to play your cards until Sergio's healed and everything, but does that change anything, or does that just show just how disrespectful to the sport this kid really is?
Well, Martinez is even more upset because he loved the sport of boxing and he really wants to knock him out this time. That is the reason.
Mm.
He really wants to punish him because, you know, today I was tweeting back and forth with my people in Argentina and all over, because I say that in on reality, whatever you learn in your house and whatever you see in the house, this is what you take it with you. If you have a violence, domestic violence in your house, most likely we have it in your own life, because the children, whatever you see, this is what you copy. And happen to be, it doesn't have the best background on his own father. That
right.
He abandoned him, that he got a divorce, that he was an abuser. So, you know, they say that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. At the same time, I can tell you that it's totally true, because he have the heart of his father, he have the courage of his father, because to get this punishment and to keep coming on is only not only as a Mexican, it's a pedigree of his own father. So for me, in that respect, I give him the credit that he's not anymore in the shadow of his father, because he showed that he have the courage and the power and the will to continue fighting. Many, 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 many fighters, he will give up and quit. He didn't do that. And I give him credit for that. Or maybe, I don't know, I never have marijuana in my system. I don't, you know, so I don't
right.
know. Maybe the marijuana make you happy. I don't know.
not even a Bob Arum contact high? I mean, apparently.
I don't know.
You know, I
can tell you that I'm probably one of the few fathers of 1970s in America that I can go to my son, to Nathan, and tell him, like I did. I said, Nathan, look in my eyes, and I can tell you that your father never had drugs or abuse of anything
right.
that is illegal. And this is what I told him to my son. And my son, I believe that he followed my step. And whatever I show in the house, the love of my wife for 40 years, that what you bring a good man to earth.
Right, right. I think it also explains why, I don't know if you saw this, Gable, being there ringside, but on TV, after the combinations that Sergio Martinez would land in certain rounds, I thought I saw some clouds of smoke pop off the back of the head of Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
You're a bad guy. Come on, don't say that.
I'm curious too, you know, because the middleweight division has moved around so much. You got Gennady Golovkin, who's now emerged. Daniel Gill has two belts. Chavez Jr. might, I mean, he's probably brings the biggest name, and you guys could do the big rematch. But you could almost make a more lucrative path heading in different directions, right? You could go for those two belts that Gil has and bring even more to the table. Are you just right now, you guys are just going to lick your chops like Marvin Hagler once said and kind of look at your options?
Do you think that this guy, Daniel Gill, he will bring a pay-per-view? Honestly?
No, that's the problem. Yeah, that's the problem.
Golovkin, he will bring a pay-per-view?
No. Not yet, no. Eventually. But, yeah, you guys don't have that kind of time. It's got
well, maybe Peter Quilling?
do I need to answer that, or is that rhetorical?
I don't know. No, because
question?
He said that he's the best, that nobody knows. I never forgot. He was so insulted.
Right.
This man that I would never give him a shot because this is personal. Because you cannot insult a great champion like Sergio Martinez and walk away. I will not allow this to happen to my fighter. You know what I mean? He was so respectful of Peter that he would never get the shout of Martinez. The closest he can be if I send him a postcard, put it that way. And not because I'm afraid of him. I believe that he will beat the shit out of him because he doesn't deserve it to make a dollar out of Martinez after the insult that he did to him. I don't believe that nobody in the industry is supposed to badmouth Sergio Maravilla Martinez.
No, he showed, you know, Steve Kim said, I don't know if you read his article, but he said it was a victory for blue-collar professionalism and a love of the craft. And that's exactly what it was. You know, he's an original guy who works his ass off. You know, let me ask you this, too. This was something that threw me. I thought it was HBO maybe had pushed this on you guys. But I know you guys had Russ Amber doing the gloves or doing the wraps. And you had, I think, maybe Gabby Sarmiento used to do the wraps before him. And then this fight, you guys brought in Nazim Richardson. And sure enough, Martinez breaks his left hand. Are you guys going to stay with that team? And why did you guys make that change at the last second?
Well, it happened to be that we hired him because we thought that it would be very good for our team, especially with Margarito case. And trust me that he did an excellent job on that. Sometimes, regardless how good you wrap your hands, it never hits so much in the head of anybody that this time. So this you need to have the account. The four rounds, it was... you know, punch after left after left after left, you know, probably got so many left like the 12th round with somebody else. So I cannot pinpoint anyone. And what happened with Ross is something that he didn't work out with the team, put it that way.
Right.
And the team, we all, I can say that we are all teammate, and we don't look for any generals, and maybe that it was some of the reasons that he understood the way we're working. We as humble as Martinez, I believe that the rest of the team need to be a humble or even more that Martinez is, and this is what we do. And I strongly believe that they have a very humble team.
It is. I mean, they're very. You guys don't really brag, and I don't see, you know, brashness. And there is always kind of a. It's a very tight circle. You know, the Sarmientos have always been very kind of close to the vest, but you know, always among themselves. And,
right.
And I respect that. You know, fair enough. I'm not going to sit there and hammer you on it. I just have one more thing. I'm just curious, and you don't want to play your cards on this, but how many fights do you think he's got left? 2-3, you think he can go for a while, or just depends fight by fight to see how his health is after each fight?
He said that he will not reach the 40 and fighting. He doesn't want to do that.
He doesn't want to be another Bernard Hopkins?
Definitely not.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
And by the way, he managed his money wonderful. I mean, this is a really good kid inside and outside. He doesn't throw the money in gambling or other stuff. You know, he never drink in his life. He doesn't know the taste of
right.
beer or the taste of any alcohol. He doesn't know what is a cigarette. And that what he bring it to be an example and an idol for our children. That is the reality.
He's a hell of an example for kids. You know, you point him to, it may not be fundamental boxing, but the heart he showed when he got up from that knockdown, all the charity work that he does, seeing the disabled kids before the fight, rearranging his schedule to do that. He really does. He just, you know, I hate to sit here and gush, but the guy brings nothing but class to the sport. He should be celebrated much more than he is, you know, and it drives me crazy even with it. You know, the big boys turned him away and this road that he's had to go, it's kind of amazing. Three continents, he's had to fight top rank several times, from the Margarito fight, Pavlik, dealing with Al Haymon and Paul Williams and all that, the rematch stipulations, and now ultimately Chavez Jr. and everything.
Will he be celebrated, though? That's my question now. Now that he's slain the dragon, will he be celebrated? Will he finally get his due from HBO and everybody else? What do you think, Samson? Or is this going to be a continued tug-of-war with the networks to get him on?
I don't believe that HBO, he will do, now he understood, and I believe that the new president, he understands, the president of HBO, he understands very well how much he can bring to the table, and everyone in HBO, he shows his love. So I don't believe that he need to cross the street like everybody say. Besides that, he's very loyal to HBO.
Absolutely.
He prefer to dump HBO than to go to across the street. Look, he can retire right now if he want to.
Right.
He will not do that, but he could retire.
I know you have, Sergio is the biggest name, but I did want to ask about Fortuna. All your other fighters, can you give us updates on the rest of your roster?
Well, definitely Fortuna is my pride. I most of my kids is all from Pro Debut. You know
right.
I mean, I got him. Everyone is a Pro Debut, and I worked my way up. And this is what I did with Fortuna. Definitely, Fortuna is the next one that he will fight for a world title. Now, then I have a Chris Jones for 16 defense with me. That is my pride too. And then in John Royal Casimero from Philippines, Hugo Cuatito Ruiz, another champion WBA 118 from Mexico. I have Gabriel Campillo, and then my pride from the Virgin Islands that I have Rob one more time, John Jackson. He dropped the kid in the first round, Willie Nelson, and the referee didn't see it because he's too tall. And finally, I lost for 2 points. If he count like he's supposed to, it's a knockdown, I will have a draw, even though I believe it's unfair. So this is John Jackson, Samuel Roger, and Julius Jackson. Then Daoud Jordan that I have. Victor Cayo that is coming back, and then I have you, one of the superstar to me, which should be in a heavyweight division after Klitschko, it be Magomed Abdusalamov, that is 15-0 with 15 KOs, and I have a few Dominicans that is coming up with 14-0 with Juan Carlos Abreu. And but I forgot about the Froilán Saludar, and then I have my girls, the biggest ticket sellers in Peru and worldwide is Kina Malpartida, WBA champion, 135, Cecilia Comunales, that he put 12,000 people, is sold in Uruguay, my country. Cecilia Reina Comunales, the WBA 135. And I have Diana Santana, 126 IBF from Dominican Republic. And Kathy Pamela from Dominican, 122 IBF. So I have a few champions and many more that
right.
Just a couple.
I
yeah.
have a few others that I don't want to miss no one, but definitely I miss a few.
That's okay. That's okay. As long as we get a chance to see them do their performance in the ring, you know.
Well, Samson, I just want to thank you for your time, man. I know it's probably been really busy, and at some point you're going to want to take a rest. But enjoy this moment. I don't think they get much sweeter in boxing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you know what I say today to the press? I use a lot the Twitter, mm-hmm. and I say that you people, this the hard workers of this business, and with a very, you know, with underpaid like any other industry in the world. And I really appreciate the press because it can make you or break you. And you people make me, my fighters, and myself in a very high level. And I really appreciate and appreciate this call. And thank you very much. And God bless you, all of you, and God bless America.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Take care, man.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. Samson, who's did we just call him back in by accident?
We'll do that.
Yeah, we did that by accident. Anyways, we've had him on a few times, and I got to tell you, he's been one of the most interesting interviews we've always had. And I like the way what him saying about Andre Ward, that just kind of upped to me the level of respect, because you know you don't hear that often where a guy knows that his fighter. Knows shouldn't cross a limit, and shouldn't cross that limit due to the money.
Dude, yeah, I liked that. You know, it was just straight up, and it wasn't denigrating Martinez. It was like, look, that's kind of how I felt. I wrote, you know, my column this Monday. It was like, why can't we just enjoy both guys? Why can't it be, you know, why do we have to make them fight? And stretch them, you know, one guy stretched down to 164, the other guy stretched himself even further to 164. You know, guys keep wanting, well, a true pound-for-pound champion moves up in weight. It's like, well, you should probably learn Martinez's history. This is his third weight class. How much further does he need to go? I mean, not everybody can do five weight classes. It just doesn't happen. Generally, the guys that do that are like Oscar and Floyd. They start at 130 and kind of build towards those middle weight classes. There's a world of difference between a welterweight and a dude that can ultimately be 168 pounds or handle 175 pounds. It just is a real rarity. You don't see guys do it. Not even the great Sugar Ray Robinson could win the light heavyweight title. And he was a big man. He was 6'1". And you know, an athletic guy like Martinez, but he didn't win the light heavyweight title.
Right.
So, I mean, there wasn't a 168 at the time, but people, relax.
And some people can think that, well, he just fought, you know, Julio Cesar Chavez, who is, a big, big guy and came in as a cruiserweight. But here's the difference. Chavez does not carry the skills of footwork and hand speed the way Andre Ward does.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, and it's, I think it'll take a guy, you know, like a Ward, who's very fundamental and incredibly disciplined within that, to beat a guy like Martinez. But let's see Floyd against him, who's a little closer to his size, maybe one of the 154-pounders, a guy like Austin Trout. There's plenty of guys at that division. Even Canelo against Martinez would be a very fun fight. I know Bernard Hopkins thinks that Canelo can beat Martinez right now. Samson actually said something very funny in an interview. He's like, well, considering how Hopkins generally picks fights, like Ortiz over Lopez and De La Hoya over Pacquiao, I've learned to just kind of pick the opposite of what Hopkins picks. I would love to see that fight. And I think that they've got, you know, obviously Samson's not going to play his cards, but what used to be their weakness, being an independent, now is kind of their strength.
Right.
They're not top ranked. They're not Golden Boy, but they can do business with both of those people. And those guys do have pay-per-view people. You know, Saul Alvarez, Miguel Cotto was out there as another independent. Floyd Mayweather is out there. Manny Pacquiao's probably out of the picture because he's too small. But they've got some options here. You know, I think they're going to have to do something special in order to get the pay-per-view action that they want. I hope they don't shoot themselves in the foot just looking for only pay-per-view. You got to mix it up. You got to find other ways to get this done. You know, I don't think he has many fights left.
You know what? And I think that's really solely why he was saying about pay-per-view is not going backwards because the retirement is an issue. Going over 40, Sergio Martinez doesn't strike me as a guy that goes back on his word. Doesn't strike me as a guy that's just going to say something just to drift in the air. It's not a whistle in the wind. I think that he's going to stay true to the fact that, you know what, I want to retire at 40 years old. So I think that was the initiative of sticking to, let's not go backwards. Let's look for another pay-per-view. But I greatly agree with you, Gabriel, on they shouldn't do that. They shouldn't put all their chips in one bag off of this performance because here's the reality. Chavez brought a lot of those numbers to that pay-per-view event Saturday night.
And, you know, I got to, you know, I'm seeing on Twitter, I always kind of check the feed during, you know, the show. This is ridiculous. The people are saying, well, Chavez Jr. didn't train. He was high. You know, all of a sudden, you start denigrating the win. I'm sorry. One guy showed up professionally, ready to go.
Go, right.
The other guy, you know, I don't know what he decided to do this camp. That's not Martinez's fault. And but at the same time, even to Chavez Jr., he fought the way he always does. He probably threw less punches. But he also had a world-class guy in front of him for the first time.
Absolutely.
You got to take that into account. He had no answers. I've seen guys that aren't quite 100%. Alfredo Angulo against his Kermit Cintron is one. He adjusted. He came on late. It does happen. You can pull it out. But what I saw with Chavez Jr. is just a microcosm of who he is, and I'm not going to give him a pass and say, oh, well, it's not his fault. He was high and didn't train, and that means Martinez wasn't as good as he was. Screw that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry.
He got his ass whooped fair and square. Chavez, you know what?
Fair and square.
We thought, and I even said that Chavez was going to drop Sergio Martinez, but it was still going to lead into a decision. But I got to tell you this. Those 11 rounds, I don't know about you, but I was one happy dude. Watching this kid take a schooling and knowing that he's been basically given everything. Everything's basically been handed to him. And being that disrespectful to the sport, not even knowing about the marijuana. Let's throw the marijuana thing out the door. But everything that before that.
Through my window.
Yeah. I mean, he needed that one-sided whooping. But I do give him props because his face was mangled up. He looked like he had been through hell. Didn't go down, but there was a point he almost did. And there's a funny thing is that he called Sergio Martinez a ballerina. For a pretty big guy, he was floating around that ring almost like a ballerina, trying to stay away from Sergio Martinez.
Yeah, what was interesting was, you know, I mean, the guys could say what they want. I mean, maybe he didn't have enough energy to really go for it. But what about all those shots to the body? Martinez wasn't a headhunter. He was thorough in his ass kicking. Yeah, he was straight left to the body. You know, he was bringing that left uppercut to the body. He was digging on both sides. The jab was constant. 502 jabs. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's a guy that's in shape. That was like, you know what, I'm going to have to be extra special this time. I'm going to have to be in the best possible condition of my life. Whatever I can do with this old body, I better get it done. And he throws 908 punches to Chavez's 390.
Yep.
He lands 302 to 178. You know, 502 jabs, 140 connected to a 134. I can't even believe Chavez Jr. threw 134 jabs. I didn't even see that many.
It's guys there just trying to hit the little button, those the Olympics and stuff. But fight fans, you want to call in, you certainly can. You can call in at 347-215-7598. I can see the phone lines are filling up. But we do got a scheduled interview with Mauricio Herrera at 6 o'clock. So as soon as we get Mauricio Herrera. Yeah, as soon as we get him on with us, we will definitely start patching in some fight fans. We have Soto Carras coming on at 6:30. We got a lot of boxing to talk about, a lot of fights to talk about, a lot of exciting fights, a lot of good fights, and a lot of where do they go from there type of fights. So let's get Mauricio Herrera, who's got an upcoming fight with Kareem Mayfield, the hard hitter from San Francisco, from the Bay Area. So let's talk to him for a little bit. Hopefully he answers.
Yeah.
Mauricio, are you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm right here. What's up?
Hey, man. Hey, welcome back to the show on Leaving the Ring Radio. It's me, Dave Duenas, with Gabriel Montoya. So you got an upcoming fight with Kareem, the hard hit of Mayfield. How you feeling about that fight? I know it was scheduled a little earlier, but there was an injury between the both of you guys, but now you guys are scheduled to re-meet.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we were, you know, I got hurt before, but I guess it was for the ESPN, but, you know, I heard him, I heard a YouTube video on him saying, I hope Herrera don't hurt his back again, or something like that, but, I just want to tell him that the first fight, when they offered it to me, it was only because there was a fallout on his other opponent.
Right.
And, you know, I had 3 weeks notice. I don't want him to know that. 3 weeks notice. So, you know, I didn't care for him. I had one day to look over his videos, and I was taking the fight at a 3 week notice, dumped in the training, and threw out my back. So it wasn't meant to be. So I don't know if he's thinking maybe I was scared or afraid, but I just wanted to make that clear.
Hey, you know what? I wouldn't even know why his people would think that you were scared. I mean, they've never seen you fight before. I've always said you're an all gutsy warrior that comes forward, is always willing to trade shots. But you were training for Mike Alvarado, and Mike, you know, obviously he got injured. Now he's going against Bam Bam Rios.
Yeah.
This is a completely different style of match that you're going to be facing with Kareem Mayfield. Here's a guy that likes to mimic, and we've said this before, and the criticism that I've kind of given is that he tends to kind of fall into the Sugar Shane Mosley of the old, which is throw one shots here and there. But he's been shaking that off a bit. He hasn't really been that, you know, reserved. But he's got some heavy hands. So how have you been training for him, and what have you been concentrating about Kareem?
Well, yeah, I know that the way I see Kareem is he's a fast starter. He starts out fast the first couple of rounds. Then he tends to lay back and pick his shots. And I know that he's heavy-handed. And the thing with him is I don't think anybody, you know, really wants to fight that kind of style, you know, because he's real, you know, dirty wrestling. He doesn't make you look good. And but the thing is, you know, he's awkward. The timing, you know, the shots are awkward. But I'm awkward to hit. And I guess it's going to come down to, you know, who's going to get more frustrated, me or him. But I just know there's going to be a lot of hugging. He's not going to out-punch me. So he's going to have to knock me out. That's true. So he's heavy-handed. So if he don't knock me out, I don't think he has a chance.
Do you think you have to use a little bit more footwork, a little bit more turning him in order to kind of offset him so he doesn't grab you, he doesn't try to, you know, maul you up?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we're working on. Just more foot movement. You know, working on keeping our distance and then turning him. Like before he gets a chance to even hold, just try to spin him around and at the same time pop shots. You know, I like to sneak shots in, and whether he's holding me or not, I have one hand loose, I just keep going. You know, I don't stop, so I think all those shots are going to be able to frustrate him, and I think I'll be able to make him miss big shots. That's what's going to tire him out, and that's the way I see it. I see it going a little bit dirty, you know, a lot of wrestling, me trying to pull away and trying to get some work done, and him looking for big shots on the outside. But hopefully, my thing is to tire him out, and then hopefully he won't have anything left by the end of the round.
Hey, Maurizio, welcome to the show, man. This is Gabriel Montoya with Max Boxing and Leave It in the Ring.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
How you doing, man? I think we talked over at Fortune Gym before your last fight. When every fight that you do is very much an action fight. You really get in there. You're a very crowd-pleasing kind of guy. Do you look at this point, you know, I think you're old in years, but you're young in boxing years because you have very few fights. Are you starting to look at it and say, you know, I got to box a little more? Are there still things that you're refining within your game and not being so crowd-pleasing, but maybe kind of finding a balance between boxing smart and pleasing us?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I mean, the Alvarado, you know, I got tricked into it, and I felt excited, and you know, you get into the crowd, and you want to please them, and sometimes you give it all out, you know, and try to be an action fighter. But yeah, you're right. That's exactly what we're trying to do. You know, we want to give the crowd a good fight, but at the same time, still try to be smart, you know, and win these fights, and then get past Kareem, you know, so we can get to the bigger guys. Well, because Kareem's a little bit, it's going to be hard to look good against him, even, you know, so I am going to have to be smart with him. Because I know it's going to be a lot of holding, a lot of mixing dirty. So, but hopefully we get through him and we go back and be smart, but at the same time try to, you know, brawl it at times, you know?
I believe he's working with Virgil Hunter, Kareem Mayfield, that's his trainer. You've worked with another Virgil Hunter guy in Mike Dallas Jr. Are you able to take anything from that? I mean, they're kind of a little bit different styles, but they're bringing the same toolbox. You know, like you said, holding, grappling, being a little more rough inside, kind of the old school stuff, kind of Hopkins-esque. How do you prepare for that kind of fight? I mean, do you stay fundamental and stay behind the jab and say, just don't get near me? Or do you work on grappling moves and how to get out of them while you're in training camp?
Yeah, that's the thing. I was all the time my trainer, and he goes, I think we need to bring in a wrestler and start doing some wrestling. Bring in some amateurs and throw some wild shots, you know, just off and on. But, no, I understand that's how he is. You know, it's going to be a lot of wrestling, so I know we got to do a lot of stuff like that, you know. I think I do pretty good in the trenches when they hold me and stuff. I don't know if you see the past fights. I do like to work inside. I was doing it with Mike Dallas. But, you know, Mike Dallas was another thing. It was a short-notice fight with Mike Dallas also. But I know I could have done way better. You know, I know he's sort of, you know, like Kareem. They punch and they like to lean in forward and try to smother you and grab you. And I'm just going to keep going to work. And I think I'll look more crisper and fresher with Kareem. And that's what I got to do. I think if he's going to go hold, I'm just going to keep punching and until the ref wakes us at all times. So he's not going to be able to think he's going to hold me and wait till the ref to break. No, I'm going to get work, and if I have to get dirty like I did with Dallas, then that's what I got to do.
You know, it seems to me, am I wrong here, but that YouTube video seemed to kind of get underneath their skin here, Mauricio.
Who's Kareem's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a little bit, because I mean, I don't know who this guy thinks he is, and I don't know, he thinks he's a big shot, and saying, you know, Mauricio can't run, and he still got to fight me, you know, now we set it for a different day. And I don't know, he's just trying to be some kind of superstar, he's trying too hard, but I mean, I don't have to fight him. They're not making me fight him, you know.
Right.
I could have easily said no. They just bring him up to me, yes, no. I say yes, you know. I'm really taking his fight also because, you know, I need some work. I need to keep busy. You know, I'm not able to just get any fight. You know, I have to wait for our promoters to bring me and ask me, you know, this guy wants to fight. Do you want to? And it's always, you know, I'm always ready. I'm always saying yes. So his name came up, and I wasn't going to say no. So I don't know what he thinks. If I got pushed into this fight or I have to fight him. But he ain't nobody either. I mean, I know I ain't nobody either. But it's not like, oh, he's coming with me and he has to fight me in order to get, you know, go to the next level. But it's not even like that. Same with Brandon Reels, you know. I mean, they're the one that they come up to me. My promoter asks me, hey, you want Brandon Reels? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they say they want to fight you. Okay, well, let's bring it on. Let's fight. Sometimes I don't have all the time. You know, they don't give me with enough notice. You know, I bet those guys have all the time in the world. Maybe they're more organized, have the full more pool, and they get all their, you know, good amount of training. Sometimes I get leftovers. You know, hey, oh, this guy fell out, or you want to fight Brandon? Right? And it was short notice also. And then,
right.
And so I say, yeah, I take it. And now Brandon, which I think I heard, I think he was on there saying some stuff about me, like, oh, you know, I don't want to give Mauricio that chance. So he takes an injury, you know, with Kareem because he wants to fight me to make that money. And
wow.
It's like, what does he care? He's not paying me. It's a promoter. As a matter of fact, they're the ones that wanted to fight me. So I don't understand where he's coming from with that. And, you know, I'm just an honest fighter. I take the fights and that's it. There was nothing like I got hurt and there was no setup or whatever he was trying to say. So I don't know who Brandon Reels thinks he is, too. Honestly, they're all getting big-headed, you know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of weird because you're a blue-collar guy. I mean, you seemed, when I met you, you were really regular. You sat down. Like, the difference between you and most of the fighters I deal with was I just walked up and said, hey, man, can I get an interview? You're like, yeah. Most of them are like, well, talk to that person over there, and then they've got this
entourage.
And there's a bunch of bullshit. And I appreciated that. You know, we actually had a good conversation because of it. Being a blue-collar guy, I mean, is it do you think it's almost like an advantage that Kareem may have a kind of a delusion of grandeur about himself and that, you know, you go in there and punch him in the mouth a few times and you kind of take that away from him right off the bat? Or it's just his own trip and you're just going to do what you do?
Yeah, I'm going to do what I do, but I'm going to do what I do and with a little bit harder and a little bit faster and in good shape. You know, I had a good enough time to prepare for him. Yeah, he thinks he's hot shit maybe because he sparred with Pacquiao or whatever. I don't know how he blew up, but I don't care if he sparred with Mike Tyson or whoever it is. I don't really care who he spars. what trainer he has, Virgil, whatever, you know, I'm going to go there and do my thing. And it's all different. Every fighter is different. Every style is different. So he's not going to know. He doesn't know anything about me, but he may take me, may think he knows me and knows what he's going to do. But it's going to be different once you get in there. He hasn't been in an all-out war or a fight. And we're going to see when it tests his heart.
You know, I honestly love the mentality that Thompson fighters, you guys have, you know, from Josecito Lopez to yourself, even when Timothy Bradley was around with you, with the Thompsons, but I mean, he has a naturally big head. But, you know, you guys had this mentality, like, I'll take on anybody. I'll fight anybody, no problem. I'm not worried about what they bring. I'm not worried about their camp. I'm not worried about the fact that they got maybe a few more fights. I'm going to do what I solely came out to do, which is fight. And I respect that a whole lot. You know, I like what Thompson looks for, and he likes to pick. You know, he has a great selection of fighters. You know, I'm really excited about this fight. You know, Kareem's got that turnaround punch. He's been outboxed, but he's been able to escape from it with that punch. But with that punch alone, Mauricio, what do you look at that he brings a little extra? Because he does got speed. I mean, we've got to be honest. He is pretty quick with that right hand. But is he a solely one-handed right guy, or does he have both hands? Do you see him using both hands in the tapes of being reviewed that you've seen before of him?
I don't know. Maybe he is working on his other hand. But for now, I do see that right hand. Of course, we're not just going to wait for that right hand. I'm going to be prepared for everything, but I know his main punch is that right hand. So we're working on a lot of head movement, just being active, a lot of feints, a lot of stuff, not just standing there and get hit by that right hand. I know that he is awkward. He throws it kind of off timing too. So, I mean, he's got to be really ready and focused for that. I mean, that's the main thing we're working on. I'm trying to be a smarter fighter, and that's what we're working on, a whole lot of that, because I know he's going to come in like that, fast, quick, but I don't see him throwing a lot of punches. That's where I see he's not going to win on points. So I just got to stay busy, and I'm not trying not to get hit by those bombs, and work in the clinches and just go to work on them and wear them down. And who knows, we're trying to work on our power too. So, I mean, anything can happen. You know, may put him down coming in.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you, what are the other guys that you have watched? Where did they fail at? What did they do wrong that you're not going to make that same history mistake?
Who's that again? What was that?
The other guys that Kareem's got in the ring with and obviously defeated, what did they do wrong, in your thought? What do you think that they did wrong?
Steve Flores was way too small. He was a little guy, and he was doing a decent job. He wasn't really getting hit too much. I thought the stoppage was a little early, even though he was losing. But, even like the last guy, I don't remember, is that the one he fought in New York? I think they just stay there too. They don't, you're right, use my foot movement. I think they don't use enough footwork. They don't expect that right hand. I mean, he told you they're not doing a lot of head movement is what I'm working on, a lot of head movement and working inside when they're holding. I don't see them punching when Kareem's holding them. And he's kind of, smothers them, pushes them back, you know, and almost, I think I even see he tries to blame the ref like they're holding. It's really him. But he's not gonna
yeah,
do,
I've seen that. Yeah, absolutely.
Pull out any tricks like that. I'm going to be holding them. And if I have to make a big deal with a ref that he's holding, I'll do the same thing. I mean, I'll make it real big with a ref, maybe even deduct the point on him. But he's not going to get away with holding. I think a lot of the shots that you can get in is while he's holding. He don't like to work when you're inside close. And I didn't see the past fights, any guys really doing work on there. They stayed on the outside, or they when they try to come in, they came in a little too close, and he catches them coming in. You got to think, I can find my distance. I think I'm good at, you know, controlling distance a little bit. And I think a lot of fights with head movements and not just going straight forward and getting caught with his right hand or his left, which would, I think, would do the thing.
Let me ask you this, you know, just kind of, I know you're a focused guy and you don't like to look forward. I'm kind of looking back a little bit with this question. Ruslan Provodnikov, it was a close fight. You got the win. They disputed it, and you guys kind of went back and forth a bit, and you almost did the rematch. Is that a fight that you look to that you'd like to fight him again just to put a real exclamation point on it? Do you even think about it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that that's, you know, if I don't have anybody to fight. I mean, if I'm out for a while and I can't get any fights, I know, hey, call Provodnikov, we'll do it again. But I think the main thing is also I would like to see Provodnikov, because, you know, before I fought Provodnikov, that was the fighter I liked watching. You know, I liked Provodno. I liked Costazu. And when I saw him, I saw a little bit in that. And I was watching him ESPN. I said, man, this guy's good. He's strong. But I never thought, I was going to fight him. It happened so quickly when I fought him. But yeah, I don't think, with Provodno, I think I would fight him, but I would like to wait to see how far he goes. I know he can go higher in the ranks, and it'd be good to fight him for something, maybe for a belt, or fight him on a bigger, on HBO or something on a bigger stage. I don't just want to fight him again just now. I want to fight him where it means something,
Yeah, I agree, because I think it's gonna be a brutal fight because it is a little bit personal because it's a rematch. And you guys should get paid what that fight is worth. And I'm curious, did you see much difference in him after his – I don't know if you saw the fight he did after the – working with Pacquiao in his camp. I saw a lot of improvements in him. I was curious if you saw it and what you thought of him.
Yeah, actually, I watched all his fights after we fought. And it was kind of strange, but it was funny. But I seen him when he actually started using the jab more for a while. He started using the jab. He wasn't as aggressive right after my fight with the 2-3 fight. But he seemed kind of laid back a little. And I think with those guys, it would have worked out if he was aggressive, the guys he was fighting. But now, yeah, I was at this last fight where he knocked out El Nino, Reynoso. Yeah, he looked strong. He looked really strong going forward, a little moving his head more.
Right.
And, yeah, I see that he improved. And, I would like to fight him again. I think it would be a good fight.
I think so, too. I mean, as you guys both, he's figured himself out, and you've always really, I think, known who you are. You're one of the few guys that can stay in the pocket and still really work well, be right on a guy. I think it's such a rare gift, and it's almost more a talent than, I mean, it's a skill also, but very few people can do it, especially a guy that started late. I'm always very impressed by that. You're able to stay close on a guy and still work and not get hit too much. Mauricio, we could talk to you all night, but I know we have another guest coming up here pretty soon.
Oh, okay.
And man, I look forward to seeing your fight. Every time you work, I want to be there. And so I wish you all the luck in the world.
Yeah, big time, brother.
All right, thank you guys a lot. Anytime I'm here for an interview.
All right, brother, man. Have a great night, man.
Have a great camp.
Right, man. Take care.
All right.
Mauricio Herrera against Kareem Mayfield. It's a really interesting fight. Kareem.
He's a cool guy.
He is. And even Kareem Mayfield. I know Kareem Mayfield. I've seen him fight live at the HB Pavilion. I've known his camp for quite some time. He's a good kid, too. But I know he's hungry. He's looking to be recognized. He wants that type of recognition. And, this is a step up in class, in my opinion, for Kareem Mayfield. This is a step up in class, Gabriel. I don't know what your thoughts is, but fighting Mauricio Herrera is a different type of breed, a different type of animal that he's going to be getting in the ring with. He's going to have to really dig in deep. He's going to have to do a little bit more than just relying on his power and that one-sided speed on that right hand.
Yeah, without question, this is a step up. It's just thinking back to that Alvarado fight and what might be the difference here is not speed or boxing skill. Both guys are very skilled. Both guys know exactly who they are. Well, Kareem is still, I think, forming as a fighter. But the difference is what Herrera is willing to give in the ring.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Kareem is willing to give that. Like you saw Martinez. Martinez gave everything. Cut on his head, his eye, broken hand, jacked up knee. He gave everything. He still got up and came back for more. And Mauricio is cut from that cloth. You want to talk about blue-collar professionalism, that's another guy that's just like that. With Kareem, he's a wild card, then he's at Fortune. At Virgil's, at King's Gym. He's somewhere else. He hasn't quite figured it out yet, I think. Maybe he's putting it all together. And I think Virgil, would say that he's putting more tools in the box. But I think it really is going to come down to that because Mauricio is a guy that's going to come there and ask that question. What are you willing to do? Because I'm willing to do everything. This will be a great fight. I'm very excited.
Questioning with Kareem whether or not if he would go through the fire, this is a guy that has been dropped. He's been hurt before, and he's gotten up to win the fight. So if he gets hurt, and he's been honestly clearly outboxed. So he's familiar in that territory. So this is going to be an interesting fight. This is not a kid that's always had his own way and has been able to knock out guys in the first round. He's made fights look really ugly, and it's just because of style-wise. You know, like Mauricio said, he almost wrestles in that ring. So October is what? It's October 27th, I believe, that showdown is going to happen just a few days before Halloween. So we might end up seeing either a scary wrestling match or a scary knockout or a scary one-sided beatdown. We never know. We're going to find out, though. It's going to be on HBO. It's a really interesting fight. Fight fans, you want to call in, 347-215-7598. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with your host, Gable Montoya. In a little bit, we're going to be having Soto Coraz call in and speak to us here on Leaving the Ring. We're going to pass in some fight fans. Then after that, we got another fighter we're going to be interviewing, a surprise guest. I didn't even tell Gabriel about this one. This was a surprise one. But the Dark Cloud, who's having a fight coming up next month as well, he's going to be stepping in the ring, and we're going to talk about that power hitter, what he's going to do, what are his strategy and his plans. Let's get CT, who wants to talk Martinez versus Chavez and Alvarez versus Lopez. What's up, brother? You're on live right now and leaving in the ring.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing tonight?
Doing great, brother. Doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
What's up, man? How you been? Have you recovered from the weekend? I mean, there was like a plethora of great fights, man. It was this overload.
It was our Super Bowl, to tell you the truth. I was telling that to everybody at work. I said, you know, you guys have a Super Bowl. We got a major Super Bowl, and that normally would happen maybe once every, every year.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, every year they get one. This year we got, you know, we get plenty of them, man. You know, I think boxing fans kind of forget that we actually do get, you know, they get a game a week.
With the
and
magnitude of what we had, that magnitude was just there. It was on fire. I mean, even those preliminary fights were really good, you know, and they kept you seated. It kept you there. It kept you focused. I was satisfied, to tell you the truth. I mean, I was in the mix, man. You know, I had a 12-er, and I only probably got three of my beers out of that whole 12-er because I didn't want to get up to miss anything.
Yeah, I definitely had a fun night Saturday. I liked all the fights. But to talk about the Martinez, I think during the interview that you guys had with his manager, you guys were directly on point with, you know, Sergio and everything he's done in the sport. I think it's just amazing how this guy fights, being 37 years old, the type of style that he has. And I think, you know, guys that fight him, they know right away that style is going to be trouble for them. As you can see, is Vernon Forrest back in the day, rest in peace, but he knew that Martinez was a bad style for him, I think, back then, so he didn't want to give Martinez the opportunity to fight him for the WBC title. I just think, you know, he just gave Chavez a beating from round 1 to 11. And the guts that, you know, people want to talk about with Chavez, the guts that Chavez had, which, yes, he did. But Martinez, not a lot of guys would stand up to those punches and continue to fight, you know. He didn't hold. He didn't run around the ring. He fought Chavez. And I think that shows, you know, the grit in Martinez. He wasn't a ballerina at that point.
No, he wasn't. He was no ballerina, man. He was. It was almost watching a chihuahua nip at a bulldog, you know. And
yeah.
It was great.
Dog. Yeah, it was definitely like you know, herding some sort of larger animal. Chavez just didn't have a game plan, and. It is interesting. I mean, everybody's saying, well, he was high, you know, he didn't train, and the pink chonies.
Right.
But, you know, we know he ate his Wheaties, and maybe something more.
Let's be fair. He didn't have a game plan. He had a couple of baggies.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not like he was doing bong rips between rounds. And you know, weed stays in your system for 30 days. I mean, it does show that he was kind of slacking off. Obviously, you're doing something wrong. But doesn't he always fight this way? He
kind of follows
you around, and then he waits for you to tire and go to the ropes, and then he wails in your body. Some guys stay there longer. Most guys don't fight back. And Chavez or Martinez didn't stay there that long, and he fought back.
But they relied on weight, though. So maybe the weed was part of the plan, because they'd give him the munchies, and he can walk in a lot heavier. Let's be honest. Game plan. Everything they said was, I'm a much bigger guy. Even from Freddie Roach. I got a much bigger guy. It just came down and it boiled down to me, which was two things. You had one guy that was relying on size, and you had another guy that was relying on I'm going to hurt him, and I'm going to try to knock him out. And I was kind of happy that he was able to stay disciplined. He was able to say, you know what, I'm going to box him, and I'm going to do exactly what I should do to a bigger guy that's just going to come forward. Turn him, turn him, turn him, hit him, hit him, and attack that body. That those body shots, you know, you get the munchies. Eventually, some of those cookies are going to start rising up to the throat. You could see it. But he could see it, man. He was in pain. Didn't like those body shots.
Yeah. I just think – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just – he was knocking the resin out of him. Now, go ahead.
I think that's why in 24/7 I saw Chavez eating a bowl of cereal. Remember, they had him in a bowl.
Somebody called it the Weedies, W-E-E-D-I-E-S. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
No, but I really think Martinez clearly, you know, put on a performance. He knew what he was up against that night. Not only, you know, just the name itself, but like you guys were saying during the build-up, the whole thing was for Chavez to win. So, you know, Martinez knew he had to put on a little bit more that night. And I think he did just that. And I think he deserves a rest. He had three hard fights, you know. Even if you want to go back to the Paul Williams fight, all these fights have been tough for him. He's a 37-year-old guy. Not a lot of fighters at his age are able to do this, you know, at the elite level and his style that he does. He has to have amazing endurance to run around the ring, throw as many punches as he does. You know, his style just, it's just clearly amazing what he does. And I think, you know, he deserves this shine right now. As for Chavez, I would like to see him, you know, go up to super middleweight and possibly fight Kelly Pavlik. I think that'll be a good fight. As for Martinez, to me, I think, you know, take a little rest. You know, just sit back, and, like you guys were saying, sit back and see how the middleweight division unfolds until he makes a decision who he wants to fight next.
I'd like to see Chavez and Julio Cesar Chavez. I'd like to see Chavez and Pavlik kind of go at it. I think that'd be an interesting fight. You know, Pavlik is still up in the air whether or not he's the goods right now where he's at in his career. And Chavez can definitely get somebody that's not going to have speed and faster footwork. He's going to have somebody that's going to be willing to trade. You know, he's a big puncher, Kelly Pavlik. So it'd be interesting to see both of these guys mix it up. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thought is that with the marijuana thing is, come on, WBC. Come on, everybody else, the sanctioning bodies, you know, the commissioners. It's time now to be responsible. Let's be responsible, regardless whether or not it was in the PED. But here's the fact that this guy is still putting in something in his system and shouldn't. Let's have some integrity for our sport. Let's respect our sport. Not just because this kid's got a big last name and he can draw millions and millions of people and make a lot of money for a lot of people, but there's got to be a morality there. There's got to be a stop. I'm a huge fight fan, love the sport, but let's not slap my sport around like, you know, it's a stepchild. Let's be honest and be real about it.
Yeah, I agree 100%, definitely.
I think, you know, we got to really look at the situation. I mean, as many, you know, as good as it is for Chavez Jr. getting high before a middleweight title fight is like, it's like having Dan Quayle back as vice president. I mean, it's gold, you know, but at the same time, you got to look at it really serious. This is his second infraction. It's the first time that he's fought in Las Vegas and been tested by Las Vegas, who they have, you know, however you may feel about their TE ratio, they do drug testing and they do test for a lot of different things, and they've caught people. So you have to give them credit in that regard. They caught him the last time and they caught him this time. What was happening that time? He didn't get tested. What happened in the one that when everybody disputed it? There was a million guys in the dressing room. I know there were certain things maybe that were going on in Nevada. There were a whole other issue, and that'll come out in the book or in a later article. But, you know, the bottom line is they did catch him. This is a guy on probably a work visa. I don't think he's a dual citizen here.
Right.
And he also had a DUI that he – I think he's on 3-year probation for that. He's fulfilled some of the terms of that plea deal, the 30 Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. But – I believe he's on probation, and you can't really be getting in trouble like this. You have an illegal substance. It's not like Nick Diaz, who did get a year suspension. Nick Diaz had a medical card in California. He could legally buy marijuana for an existing medical condition.
Right.
in this state, but it didn't transfer over to Nevada, where he could have got probably a therapeutic use exemption over there if he had done the proper paperwork, which he didn't. In this case, you got a guy that probably doesn't have a weed card. Somebody gave it to him for quote-unquote insomnia, according to Bob Arum. But bottom line is he's taking an illegal drug in our country while he's on a visa and on probation. If nothing happens, which nothing probably will. That's probably a gross miscarriage of justice right there.
I know.
You know?
CT, we got to put you on hold, brother. We're going to call in our next guest. Thanks for calling in, brother.
All right, thanks a lot.
We're going to patch in really quick. JC Rodriguez, who's going to be doing the translation for us here on Leaving Ring. What's up, brother? You're on live right now with us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. Hey, thanks for taking the time to do this for us, brother.
No problem.
All right, let's call in Jesus Soto Caras here on Leaving the Ring, and let's talk some boxing with him. Find out if he thought the stoppage was a bit too soon. I don't know what you thought about the stoppage, Gabriel. I mean, I know what you thought about the fight. It was a terrific fight, back and forth war. Both guys were just laying it on the line, and they were giving us some sheer entertainment.
I thought the fight was – I thought it was stopped a little soon, you know. I wanted more. And
right.
I thought we could have gotten more.
I know. That's because we're savages, though, you know. We want more blood and more pounding away here.
I know.
Bueno, ¿puedo hablar con Jesús?
Él habla.
Jesús, gracias para tener el tiempo para hablar con nosotros aquí en Libre Ningún Radio. Mi nombre es David Duenes. Estoy con mi co-host, Guerrero Montoya. Nosotros vamos a hablar en inglés y JC va a hablar en español, ¿ok?
Ok.
Hola, okay.
Daniel,
Jesús.
Daniel,
hola, Jesús. Me llamo JC. Yo voy a ser el que voy a traducir por ti, ¿ok?
Ok, ok, JC.
Ok.
¿Cómo se llama el programa, perdón?
Leave it in the ring.
Leave in the ring.
Leave it in the ring.
Okay.
My first question, JC, is first off, let's find out how his health is doing. How is he, after the stoppage, did he have to receive any medical attention? This is a guy that has been known to take punishment, but obviously after punishment, war after war, you know, there's got to be some concern for health.
Okay. Jesús, lo que quieren saber es cómo te sientes, cómo estás de salud. Saben ellos que eres un guerrero, que en el ring te pones y te fajas y das todo de ti, y quieren saber cómo te sientes.
Bueno, ahorita pues prácticamente estamos afuera ya de todo, ¿no? Estamos bien, estamos con la familia, ya los moretones van desapareciendo, lo hinchado pues de hecho al otro día se me quitó, más duré un día con hinchado, ahorita todavía están los moretones en los ojos, ¿no? Pero nos sentimos muy bien. De hecho, pues me llevaron al hospital porque pues así lo pidió la comisión, ¿no? No,
okay.
No porque yo me haya sentido mal, yo me sentía muy bien. Pero me tiene que hacer el chequeo, ¿no? Se acabe un MRI y todo ese rollo y pues por eso que me tuve que ir de la arena del MGM.
Okay, déjame traducir. Entonces, what he's saying is that he's with his family. He's doing okay. The bruising is still there, but it's going down, no swelling anymore. And he's doing okay. Obviously, mentally, he's a little bit exhausted. And he had to go to the hospital because, the Nevada Athletic Commission mandated it. So he had to go to the hospital, had an MRI, everything came out clean. So he's in good spirits and doing okay.
Absolutely. We lost him here. Let me try to get him back on the line, okay? But we did
sure,
lose
no
him.
Problem.
Okay. So go ahead, Gabriel. Keep giving your insight of what you thought about the fight while I try to get him back on.
I thought was interesting was how rough Maidana is, man. He is a but at the same time, Jesus Soto Caras is just a salty bastard. He took it. He kept getting angrier and angrier. That's kind of what I want to hear about from him is how pissed off did that make you? Did it take you out of your game, or do you feel like it raised your game to another level? Because he. I'd never really seen him that pissed off in a fight, and he just started putting it to Maidana. The ebb and flow of this fight, I think, is what made it so great. You know, Maidana kept changing tactics. Jesus kept coming forward kind of with the same tactic. But he just – his tenacity, it's like will over skill. It was just beautiful to watch. Every once in a while, he would rock some good shots and then start getting going, digging to the body. He kind of found that early on. And you know, if you watch the Khan fight, you know, you can get to Maidana's body. It was just a beautiful fight. It was kind of fight fan heaven. I think a lot of us would agree that this might actually be the best fight of the weekend, with the exception of that 12th round, which was just absolutely ridiculous. I still can't get over it. I mean, the crowd, the screaming, the yelling, it was just so hard to describe, but you take it in. I've never seen a crowd stay for 30 minutes after a fight. The ring's empty. The champion's not around. And everybody's cheering and music. And
we got Soto back on with us. So let's us. Jesus, are you there?
Yeah, aquí estoy.
Okay. So I want to ask him about that stoppage. You know, because the commentators and a lot of fight fans felt he didn't dispute it. He was obviously he did get rocked, he did get dropped. But does he feel that it was premature? Should he have been able to continue? And because he did start throwing back, or was it the right stoppage?
Bueno, Jesús, ¿qué piensas de que cuando pararon la pelea? ¿Piensas que fue un poco prematura o pensaste tú que fue a su propio punto porque ya tú no te quejaste? Sí estabas peleando, pero no hubo queja de tu parte o de tu esquina para cuando pararon la pelea. ¿Qué piensas de la parada?
Mira, de la parada yo pienso que estuvo muy mal, ¿no? El referee puede que toma la decisión, No reclamé, si ves el video, pues ves mi cara que le estoy diciendo por qué la paró, pero ya no tiene caso pelear, ya la había parado, pues ya no tenía caso de alegar, ¿no? Ya, para mí, desde mi punto de vista, estuvo muy mal parada la pelea. La gente ya me conoce, con un Mike Jones que me tiró más de 100 golpes, seguimos enfrente, ¿no? Que a lo mejor estaba mal o como lo quieras ver, pero de mi punto de vista, estuvo muy mal para la pelea.
Okay, no, he says that he didn't agree with the stoppage at all. I mean, he's been with badasses like Mike Jones, who threw 100 punches at him, you know, but he didn't want to really complain about the decision. He really respected the ref's decision. Ultimately, there was nothing that he could do, and that he had to respect the decision, so he just went with it. He didn't necessarily agree with it. He wanted to fight. You know, if you look at the tape, he really turned around and asked the ref why he stopped the fight. He wanted to continue fighting. You know, he ultimately had to respect the ref's decision.
Right.
Jesus, welcome to the show. This is Gabriel Montoya with Leave It in the Ring and MaxBoxing.com. We've met in person many times. First off, beautiful fight. How upset were you by how rough Maidana was? He hit you after the bell. It was a lot of rough stuff that he was doing. He lost points for it. Did it take you out of your game, or did it raise your game?
Me estás hablando con Gabriel Montoya de Max Boxing. Dice que ya lo has conocido varias veces. Y lo que te está preguntando, lo que te está preguntando es cómo te sentiste con el estilo de pelea que tuvo Maidana. Es un poco rudo. Le quitaron puntos y obviamente te sacó del juego un poco. ¿Cómo te sentiste con su táctica de boxeo en la pelea?
Pues sí, mira, pues ellos hicieron su táctica buena, ¿no? O sea, sacarme de mis casillas, que yo perdí el control. Pues yo creo que lograron hasta cierto punto. Estábamos tranquilos, pero pues pararon la pelea, ¿no? Pero yo creo que pues hicieron su trabajo bien, ¿no? Es un buen peleador. Yo esperaba que me saliera con sus volados. Y al contrario, ¿no? Él estuvo tirando todo por dentro, todo cerrado, pura recta, cuando estamos nosotros esperando para camotear los ganchos, ¿no? Pero pues así es esto. De Maidana, pues yo te puedo decir que es un buen peleador, pero pues si no hubieran parado la pelea, otra cosa hubiera sido.
Okay, hey, I gotta give it up to Maidana's team, and Maidana, they fought the right fight. They psychologically got to me, and I got, you know, I admit I got pissed off. Honestly, I was expecting a lot of wild bounce from Maidana. He did a great job with the jab, with the left hook to the body, and you know, ultimately he did a good job in the fight. He, you know, he ultimately pissed me off and you know, got me out of sorts, and I think that was a big factor in the fight.
Besides that, you know, with the boxing, that was actually what surprised me the most, was that he was very versatile. How do you prepare when all of a sudden you go out there, you're expecting Maidana, who I don't think is much of a boxer, I didn't, and he comes out and starts boxing, and he's changing stances and doing all these things. How do you make your game plan work? How do you make what you prepared to do work when that happens?
¿Cómo te sentiste, Jesús, cuando te diste cuenta de que Maidana no iba a ser el típico Maidana con sus bombas, con sus golpes, y se empezó a boxear contigo y empezó a cambiar, you know, el periodo de distancia, te empezó a tirar el jab? ¿Cómo te sentiste? ¿Qué hiciste al respecto cuando viste que empezó a boxear en vez de ser su típico Maidana?
Pues sí, mira, pues sí te cambian, ¿no? Aunque no teníamos un tipo de estrategia que más bien yo no seguí, ¿no? Porque pues como boxea, ¿no? Un poco sucio, me tiraba golpes después de la campanada, cuando era Blade me tiraba. Entonces yo poco a poco fui perdiendo lo que teníamos planeado, ¿no? Y pues ni modo, o sea, ya estaba yo, no es que estuviera fuera de control, pero pues ya era Viva México ya.
You know, what he's saying is basically that, you know, little by little, he tried to adjust, but, you know, ultimately that the boxing was a little different, and ultimately he tried changing game plans, but what got to him was, you know, the hitting after the bell, you know, the rough fighting inside, and all that got to him a little bit. So ultimately what he did is just, you know, went out in the shield and said, you know, basically Viva Mexico. It was Mexican Independence Day, and he tried to give the fans a fight.
How, you know, his power, Maidana's power, how real is it at 147? I mean, obviously he got dropped, but was him getting dropped, was it really due to because his focus was not now to, with his game plan, his focus was more now just to basically hurt him because he was upset?
¿Cómo, Jesús, cómo sentiste el poder de Maidana en welterweight? Porque normalmente él es un junior welterweight, pero ¿cómo sentiste su poder? You know, obviamente él te tumbó, ¿fue porque te dolió o te sentiste su poder o porque fue una acumulación de golpes o fue tu como peleó Maidana?
Ajá. Sí, mira, yo no te voy a negar que tiene su poder, ¿no? Tiene su pegada fuerte, sentí su golpeo, más sin embargo no como un 147. Yo he peleado con peso fuerte, que sí me han hecho ver estrellitas, me han hecho ver negro. Que sí me tumbó, sí lo reconozco, fue buena caída, pero no porque haya sido un golpe tremendo, sino que me agarró con mis pies fuera de balance, ¿no? Pero de que fue caída, que me golpeó, me golpeó. Pero que tú digas, o que yo diga, no, pues sí tiene un gran poder en la 147, pues la verdad no, tiene su pegada respetable, pero pues desde mi punto de vista para la 140, no para las 47.
Okay. What he's saying basically is that he's not going to deny that he has power, but not he doesn't have true welterweight power. He says he's been hit by other welterweights and he's seen stars and actually blacked out in the ring from the power from other welterweights. You know, he admits that he got knocked down by Maidana, and what he's saying is that he wasn't stable in the ring, that his feet weren't positioned properly, and that was a big part of the knockdown. But he won't deny Maidana has the power, but what he's saying is not the true welterweight power that he felt before.
At some point, it almost looked like he had Maidana where he wanted him. Maidana's mouth was open. It looked like some of the punches were hurting him. He was backing up. Wasn't throwing punches. Do you think that was the resting period for him and he fell into it where he rushed in a bit too quick? Because I've seen Soto Carras spar. I've been at, you know, when he was at the Maywood, I've been there, and I've also said that this is a guy that, you know, he likes to get in those trenches. He likes to bang. He likes to, you know, mix up the punches. But seeing that he had Maidana at that position, seeing that he was could have been able to turn it up, did he make that mistake by trying to turn it up and maybe gassing himself up a little bit? Because it seemed like after a great round he had, the next one, it was almost like he handed it over for Maidana to do the same thing to him.
Okay, lo que te están diciendo, Jesús, es que hubo un punto en la pelea donde Maidana ya estaba cansado, tenía su boca abierta ya, y es cuando tú te metiste, le empezaste a pegar y le empezaste, lo empezaste a lastimar bastante. Hubo un tiempo donde tal vez lo podías haber tumbado, pero lo que pasó es que como que te cansaste y al próximo round fue cuando, como quien dice, te están diciendo que le diste la pelea a Maidana en el próximo round porque tiraste tantos golpes en ese round que ya en el próximo que ya no tenías nada. ¿Qué piensas?
No, pues mira, pues como te digo, la pelea fue la pararon en el octavo, no yo no te puedo decir, no, pues yo le pude haber ganado, luego le ganaba o lo que, porque se paró en el octavo round, ¿no? Al igual la gente, yo me sentía bien, lo único que yo digo es que si hubiera sido la pelea, otra cosa hubiera sido, a lo mejor me vuelve a noquear o me vuelve a tumbar o me gana o lo que sea, ¿no? Pero pues no pasó en el octavo, yo me sentía bien. Si dicen que yo me sentía casado porque o que ellos me miraban casado, pues sí, pero yo creo que no. Yo me sentía bien, en buena forma. Sí tiré golpes, pero pues no fuera de que me estuviera agotado, ¿no? Para no seguir a pelear. Yo creo que la esquina de Maidana, después de que era el séptimo rampo, lo mandaron a salir con todo porque ya sabían de lo que venía después de eso tocar.
Okay, what he's saying is that, you know, the fight was tough in the eighth. He felt that he could continue. You know, the Maidana's corner sent him to actually just go out, but he really feels that he could have continued, that he really had the fitness to go 12 rounds. He had trained really hard, and that, you know, had they let the fight go more rounds, anything could have happened. Maybe he knocked him out, maybe he gets knocked out, but he felt that he could have gone longer.
Yeah, I agree with him. He absolutely. I thought the fight could have kept going. It didn't seem like he had his senses. Did he feel at that point? I mean, was his head clear and he was just kind of waiting for Maidana to kind of stop punching and he would return?
Right, slow down. Yeah.
What was his next move while that was going on?
¿Qué estabas esperando? I mean, Maidana estaba golpeándote con todo. Estabas esperando a que él parara de tirar los golpes para tú continuar y dar de tu parte. ¿O qué estabas pensando cuando Maidana estaba tirando todos los golpes en el octavo?
No, pues mira, pues lo que vean la pelea, ahí van a ver. No, yo no estaba esperando nada. Yo estaba esperando quitarme los golpes de Maidana y yo contragolpear, ¿no? Que es como te digo, pues, él estaba tirando sus golpes. Y se ve en el video cuando yo empecé a tirar, se metió el refri a parar la pelea. Entonces yo no estaba haciendo nada, pues simplemente es la situación en la que te están tirando golpes, pues te tienes que quitar ni contragolpear, nomás que el refri se metió y la paró.
Okay. Said that he was being patient, that honestly what he was doing, he was trying to counter, and if you see the video, he's actually throwing some punches back at the end because he was really trying to be strategic in the way he countered him. But if you can see, you know, as you see on the video, that the referee got in the middle and stopped the fight, he really felt that he could keep going forward.
Yeah, we saw that. I definitely saw that. He started throwing punches back. Let me ask him, any talks of a rematch? I mean, this is a rematch a lot of us want to see. I want to see you guys get back into that ring. Is there a possibility? Has there been talk? I know he has Francisco Espinoza as his longtime manager. Has there been talk from his side of the camp of possibly getting those two back in the ring?
Jesús, sabe que tu manejador es Francisco Espinoza. Sí. Los fanáticos quieren ver una revancha. ¿Ha habido un tipo de negociación para una revancha con Maidana?
Pues mira, no, de hecho, después de la pelea yo estuve platicando con él y con Eddie Gómez de Golden Boy, y me estaba diciendo que Maidana, pues, sí sintió, ¿no? Sintió el poder, sintió que el poder de la 147, no mío, no, sino sintió que estaba fuerte los 147 y le dijo que, y les comentó que iba a bajar a la 140. Pero pues si yo aprovecho ahorita para decirle, para aprovecharle a decirle a Maidana que no baje, que me dé la revancha, que me dé el rematch para pelear con él, porque la gente se quedó con ese sabor de boca, ¿no? Amargo de que me la pararon, a lo mejor mal parada la pelea. Entonces yo creo para la gente darle la pelea otra vez con Maidana, pero todo es si él, como digo, decidió bajar a las 40, yo le digo que no baje para darle esa revancha a todo el público que nos estuvo apoyando, ¿no? Que se quedó con el sabor de boca amargo, de que se la pararon, que es lo que podía haber sido de Soto Cara, y por qué no, claro, una buena, sería muy buena pelea con una revancha con Maidana.
Okay, perfecto. What he's saying is basically that he was talking to Espinoza and actually Eric Gomez as well from Golden Boy, and that he asked for the rematch. And, you know, what Eric Gomez had told him was basically that Maidana said no because he was going to try and go back to 140 pounds again. What Maidana is saying now that he's on the phone that he, and he's on the radio show, that is, he would like to take the opportunity to tell Maidana to not go to 140 pounds, to stay at welterweight, to give him the rematch that everybody wants. And he wants to take the, you know, the sour taste from his mouth and the fans of you know, being a, trying to get that victory from Maidana, because he really feels that with a rematch he can get that win.
Oh, I want to see that rematch.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
Really bad.
You know, something I want to ask, and maybe he doesn't want to answer because he's a fellow countryman, but you know, you work really hard. I've always, you know, I've seen you in the gym for a long time, and
you know, has a smile. You know, instead of
yeah, you're always, you know, really cool with the fans, and then you hear, like, you see Chavez Jr. and he tests positive for pot in his fight. Does that make you mad? I mean, you don't get big opportunities like that. You're a hardworking dude. Is that frustrating to you, or do you have any opinion at all?
Okay, Jesús, lo que te quieren preguntar, y saben bien que tal vez sea una pregunta difícil porque es tu compatriota, tu paisano. Te quieren decir que ¿qué piensas tú de Chavez Jr.? ¿Qué piensas del hecho de que las pruebas de antidopaje en Nevada lo agarraron con marihuana? Y no, te miran a ti, que eres una persona muy trabajadora, dejas todo en el ring, dejas todo en el entrenamiento y trabajas bien, tienes buena personalidad y quieren saber qué piensas de Chavez Jr., que en veces, you know, tal vez piensan que está desaprovechando sus oportunidades.
Pues mira, pues así es, ¿no? Yo creo que a él le están poniendo todo en bandeja de plata, ¿no? En charola ahí, y pues sí, desaprovechar la oportunidad, ¿no? Que le dan. Al igual, todos somos humanos, y si es verdad que se le dio marihuana, quién sabe si lo olió, si se la fumó, si se la comió, o quién sabe, ¿no? Pero en las pruebas ahí están, salió positivo, pero pues yo creo que todos somos humanos, todos cometemos errores, pero pues en sí no te puedo decir algo, ¿no? Sino que pues es lamentable el hecho ese, ¿no? Que haya salido positivo por marihuana, pero pues al igual muchos peleadores quisieran tener esa posición, ¿no? Esa oportunidad, con decir como yo, ¿no? Y usted dice, okay. Ahora yo creo que fue mi primer campo que hice 100% concentrado en solo tocar, ¿no? Mi físico habló por sí solo, nunca había tenido ni siquiera una chingada rayita en mi estómago, ni mis bíceps, nada se había marcado, ¿no? Entonces, pues, andando buscando oportunidades, pero, pues, quién sabe, como te digo, yo no lo puedo juzgar, yo no sé qué es lo que haya pasado, si, como te digo, si lo olió, la comió, o se la dieron, quién sabe, ¿no? Okay. Más de que, pues, es lamentable el hecho ese para todos los mexicanos.
Okay, you know, he's saying, you know, really it's got to be a shame. He feels that, you know, he's really, Chavez Jr. has really gotten everything, you know, handed to him on a silver platter, and that, you know, he's really wasting an opportunity. Honestly, what Soto Carras is saying is basically that you can't really judge him. He doesn't know whether he smoked it, whether he ate it, or, you know, what happened. We'd really have to see what's going on with the testing and what he's going to say about it, but it's really a shame, and it's really not a good thing for all the Mexican fans.
I agree.
He feels that,
that's fair enough.
Yeah,
that's very fair.
Soto Carras is saying that, you know what, he's busted his ass in training. As you can see from his last fight, he was really in shape. He really wanted to go at it. And you know, that's the one thing you must do all the time is train 100%. And it's really a shame that this happened to Chavez Jr. That's not really taking care of his opportunities.
Well, there you go. Jesús, gracias otra vez para tenerle tiempo para hablar con nosotros aquí en Leaving the Ring. Okay, and I wish you all the luck, and I hope you get the rematch.
Yeah, I want to see
it. Están deseando toda la suerte del mundo que te recuperes, y están deseándote todos aquí de parte de Living in the Ring mucha suerte, y que ojalá tengas esa revancha con Maidana que tanto deseas.
No, pues dile que muchas gracias, y que recuperado ya estoy. Sacaron un poquito molido de mi brazo. Pero pues es parte de, ya estamos bien, yo creo que el próximo lunes, de hecho estoy pensando si mañana me llamo a correr, ¿no? Pero si no, el próximo lunes ya voy a estar otra vez corriendo, porque espero esa pelea, ¿no? Espero, si no es con Maidana, pues espero cosas grandes, porque la verdad creo que me lo merezco. Creo que me he estado entrenando, preparando ya bien las cosas en serio como para ser campeón mundial. Que tengo mis defectos, pues todos los tenemos, ¿no? Que tengo errores, pues también todos los tenemos. Pero sobre la marcha lo vamos a ir perfeccionando, y muchas gracias que me apoyen, y pues que echen tierra, ¿no? Para que se haga la revancha con Chino Maidana, en que no baje a la 140, que sigan a 147, o le peleó en 145, yo bajo a la 145, un peso intermedio, para que vea que yo estoy puesto para pelearle, okay, con él, que yo creo que tengo para ganarle. Tenemos toda la esquina se quedó con la espinita clavada de que ya era Maidana, ya era de nosotros, ¿no? Pero al igual, pues me tumbó, la pararon, pero ya sabían que íbamos a salir unas tarjetas, sabíamos de que teníamos todo ya para ganar, pero pues así pasa, cuestión de segundo las cosas cambian. Pero pues muchas gracias, Libre del Ring, por apoyarme, y que apoyen la revancha con Chino Maidana.
Okay, what he's saying is basically he's in very good spirits. He's still got a little bit of bruising, but and the arms as well. It's part of boxing. He feels very good. He's actually going to start maybe running tomorrow, probably Monday. He's going to start training again. He wants that rematch with Maidana. He's got a little thorn on the side saying that he really wants that rematch and really, really prove to the people and the boxing fans that he can take Maidana out. He's actually mentioning that he'd go to a catch weight of 145 pounds and meet Maidana at 145 pounds so that he can see that he can compromise. He wants that rematch so bad. He wants to thank all the fans. He wants to thank Liberty in the Ring for being such a good host, and wants to say hello to everybody and goodbye.
There you go. Jesus. All right, man. Gracias, gracias otra vez.
Muchas gracias. No, muchas gracias a ustedes, David.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care.
There you go. Jesus, I mean, hey, man, I think he deserves it. I think he deserves it. I'm hearing that JC actually changed his letters actually are Jesus Chavez. Change it because he's a big Jesus Chavez fan. Is that right?
No, I'm jokesters. I'm actually a big Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fan. My brothers and myself, we've invested many years of our lives rooting for Chavez Jr., and I'm actually very disappointed at the fact that he was actually positive for marijuana this time around. Not for nothing. I mean, the kid might be an asshole or whatever you guys want to say when it comes to training or not taking things serious, but he has the talent. I think he's the only one that doesn't see it, honestly, because he's got the talent, and if he really trained and committed himself to the boxing game, he would really, really be good.
You know, I think that Omar has the talent. I just don't think that they've actually recognized him or gave him the credit, you know. JC's been growing, and there's been some subtle changes, which I think you're right. You know, if you're not taking it serious, you're not taking the sport serious, and, just like a lot of folks have said, just throwing it away. But, JC, hey, thanks again, brother, for taking the time and doing the translation for us, man. Did a fantastic job. I appreciate it, man. A whole lot, brother.
No problem. You guys take care.
You too.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
JC Rodriguez, who did the translation for us here. We'll give him a hard time a little bit here on Leaving the Ring.
I was supposed to say, like, Albert says hi. I don't know. Marty, at Marty Blues on Twitter, who sat behind me at the fights. He's saying, tell him Albert said hi. So sorry about that.
Sorry about that, JC.
I said it now. So if he tunes back in or downloads us on iTunes, as you can, as soon as the show is over, you can hear me say.
JC's brother has to wear a Martinez shirt in the next fights per out of a bet. Let's pass it to fight fans.
When he says a Martinez shirt, does he mean like one of his pink button downs or a shirt with Martinez on it?
I think it's the body ESPN shirt, you know? With okay.
Good Lord.
Good Lord, man. 347-215-7598. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, my co-host, Gabriel Montoya, the man behind the switchboard, Mr. David Chen. What a huge difference having my computer back on, isn't it? It shows a lot smoother. And the sound is a lot better. Let's get some fight fans on with us who want to talk boxing. Let's get
Why'd you put the body issue into my head? No, don't throw the hook. Oh
no. I don't know. Maybe shrinkage. You never know. Let's get Emily, who wants to talk anything boxing here on Leaving the Ring. Hello, Emily. You're on live with us on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing. I was just calling in to listen to JC doing the translation for Sosa Gras. So
he did a great job, didn't he? He did a really good job.
I'm going to hire him to translate for me when I need help. So
So what did you think about the fights this past weekend? What are your thoughts?
They were awesome. I had a blast. I
kind of scared Gabriel, I think, because he didn't recognize me. And I'm like, you're in my seat, because that was the seat I was sitting in on press row. And he's like, and I'm like, you don't know who I am, do you? And he's like, no. I said, it's me, Emily. And he's like, oh, okay. I'm sure he was, like, completely freaked out that I was some crazy fan.
Well, somebody had crossed out my name. I had the first seat in the first row of – it was kind of like two sections. It was an auxiliary, but it was actually a nice auxiliary for once. Usually the auxiliary, they just put you in a seat and you can't type at all. There's no, but this one, they set us up with tables and everything. It was really kind of overlooking the ring. But somebody had crossed out my name, and it was like sitting there drinking a beer, sitting in my seat when I got up there, and I was like, that's not going to happen. I already had to chase one guy out of my seat, you know. Then we had the creeping ghoul running around. It was, you know, and then you came up, and I was like, this is like the third thing, you know. You're in my seat. Like, really?
It's like,
where's
totally over it. Like, what are you doing here? Why are you? Get out of my face. So
Did you run up to him and hug him? Is that what happened? And he was like, who are you?
No, I actually just walked up and said, excuse me, you're my feet, like all obnoxious-like. And he kind of looked all flustered and like, I don't know who you are, and this is my feet.
The dark cloud came out.
Lady, if you weren't a lady, you know.
I said, hey, wasn't your name crossed out? Because I had been sitting there. Like, I had just sat there to talk to Ryan Macignano for a few minutes before I'd gone down to get something to drink. And his name, I said, hey, wasn't your name crossed out? He's like, well, yeah, it was, but this is my scene.
somebody's pulling a fast one up there. I'm like, whoa, you know. So I had a good spot. I was right on the aisle, you know, except when Chavez Jr. lost, and then you had all these fans kind of filing down, and there were these three guys that were like, how did you have it? You know, the kind of scrawniest of the group. One dude's wrapped in a Mexican flag, and I said, I kind of just looked at him, and it was probably rude the way I looked at him, but it was like, are you crazy? I had it like, you know, 10-2 at the best, you know.
That one extra round was out of what, generosity?
Oh, I thought, you know, I heard somebody say maybe the second, so I put that as a swing round. I heard somebody else say the eighth was a little bit because Chavez actually did something. That was a bit of a swing round. You know, he gets the extra point for the knockdown in the end. But, yeah, I was like, maybe two rounds, but definitely the last round. But even that, you take away the knockdown, Martinez actually fought his ass off in that 12th round.
Oh, yeah.
He did eat a lot of flush shots, so, I mean, you got to give it to Chavez. But even that round was still close. But the guy wanted to fight me. He was like, what do you know about it? And I was just like, dude, I'm just on deadline. You know, just move on.
Everybody wants to fight you these days. I keep
apparently,
seeing articles.
Yeah. I was giving something off. I don't know what it was. I thought, you know, a new cologne, something pheromones. I got lucky. I don't know. But people were angry with me this weekend. What are you going to do, you know?
I don't know. Fight the world?
Yeah,
one guy at a time, I guess. Well, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not giving it publicity. It was not supposed to be publicized. He decided to do that, and in my opinion, as a way to kind of put pressure on me to not do it, not going to happen. That's about all I'll say. It's going to be there. I'm going to be there.
Well, I told you before, you know, if you knock out his teeth, you're actually helping out the kid. Anyways, Emily, thanks for calling in. I want to put you back.
No.
Okay. Emily's publicist is really, she's really great. She just joined the family of Leaving the Ring. So I'm going to be posting up an article that she did because she's also a host of The Boxing Fix, who's on every Sunday night. She's one of the hosts for The Boxing Fix on every Sunday night at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time. So if you have a chance, go on and check out that show. It's a really good show, The Boxing Fix. And then you got Monday nights with Noche de Boxeo, which is 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern. Anyways, let's get some more fight fans on. Let's talk some boxing here on Leaving the Ring. Let's get Mr. Francisco. What's up, brother? Mr. Salazar. How you doing?
In the flesh. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic, brother. Doing fantastic. Are you back in back at school teaching, or are you still down in Vegas? Hope not.
Oh, yeah. I was heading actually on Monday in Old Town, downtown, and then kind of made my way on Tuesday to Hard Rock, and then I'm like, oh, geez, if I drove, okay, might as well go back to Sunny Oxnard and impart some knowledge to these wonderful students.
What did you think of the fights? How did you have it? Did you have it a draw?
Yeah, I still had it a draw. I know. I was sitting next in the same row with Gabe was. So my view was unobstructed, and I had it 117-110. I gave the one round I gave Junior was the eighth round, just only because it looked like Sergio took a round off, and you know,
right.
Junior actually did something more than just, you know,
eat punches.
He was like the Boxing Dead, you know. He was just kind of coming forward, you know, dragging his feet. It was just.
I don't know if he was dead. Honestly, the way I looked at it, his face expression was he was really confused. Like, he just didn't know how to catch up to Sergio Martinez.
I can't keep our conversation. Yeah, he wasn't making any sort of adjustments. He wasn't stepping it up. It was just odd. Even at the end, it was like he landed a good right hand, and then he went off. Like, why didn't he do that sooner? That's what threw me the whole time. I just didn't see the effort. Maybe it was the extra poundage that he lost.
And not to be hard on Freddie Roach, you know, but a lot of people saying that with that 12th round, you know, a rematch, Julio Cesar Chavez would now have an adjustment plan. And I got to be honest, when's the last time you've seen a Freddie Roach fighter have an adjustment during the fight and on a rematch? We just haven't seen that.
I don't think we'll ever see it.
No. I don't think so either.
But going back to... personally, I was at the weigh-in, and I'd never seen Junior that vain before. And I know some members of the media, you know, were pointing out that, you know, I'd never seen Junior that vain, because usually when he has weigh-ins, you know, he looks more well-defined, but Junior just came around with more and more drained. I don't know if maybe he thought that, I get the away in Nevada what I got away with in Texas. Maybe the calibration of scale makes you 153, but it says 160. And here in Nevada, you know, you obviously aren't going to play that game with the Keith Kaisers. So I just thought that all those little factors, and the fact that Sergio just, to me, Sergio was the one fight that really put Junior on the defense of the whole fight.
Right.
But what did Sergio do? He cleared, you know, and he worked really very well. But I think when you look at seeing the pedigree, and I've always seen that Sergio, you know, is a great athlete. He played professionally in Argentina. He was a professional cyclist. I mean, the guy is an awesome athlete. But I think what really this fight says, you know, I think he really showed his as well.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I definitely agree with you. Francisco, thanks for calling in, brother. I'm going to put you back on hold. Thank you again for calling in.
Call me. Call me, Francisco. Text me.
Text me, yes.
I miss you.
The fight that we haven't even talked about is Josito Lopez, the Rocky from Riverside, getting in with a much bigger man, who was Saul Canelo Alvarez. We did have a chance to go down to Riverside and see him, and I believe that he had carried the weight well. But, you know, like I said,
what
we
is that
said
sound?
It, I have no idea. Like I said, we, you know, like I had said a while back was you can look the weight, but it doesn't mean you can perform in that weight. And obviously we got the answer from that. You know, he did look like he was at 147, but you can see the difference with Saul Canelo. You know, he's fighting at 147, but he's not really a 147-pound guy. He's ready to move up to 160. And it was, you know what, I give it, I take my hats off to Henry Ramirez and Josecito Lopez. They went in against a much bigger lion, and they gave it their best. Well, Cito Lopez, obviously, you got to give him more kudos because he was the one that was taking the punches from the bigger line, and he kept trying. He kept trying, but it just wasn't his night, and it just wasn't his weight division.
It just wasn't his weight division, man, without question. I mean, he couldn't take the body shots. You know, it was just overmatched. It was interesting watching when you look at the wave of the media. It started with, oh my God, absolute outrage. Canelo hangs up on us because we were not outraged but curious. And then about 2 weeks out from the fight, even I kind of fell prey to this. The more I looked at Ortiz versus Lopez, the more we saw him in the gym, I started to give him a little more of a chance. And I started to kind of accept the fight as, you know, something that is a little more worthwhile than we originally thought. Fights always tell us the truth. And this fight was exactly what we thought it was. We thought, you know, that this was going to be a physical mismatch. And it was, you know.
Yeah.
You got to give it to Lopez, though, dude. That guy just gets up and keeps coming. You know, totally outmatched. You could see how hurt he was, like holding his breath, trying to get his wind back after taking those body shots. And Canelo was the smart fighter. You got to give it to him. Once he sees something that's your weakness, he goes back to it.
Absolutely. You know, his combinations, we've said it, it's very fluent. He throws great combinations and stuff. But this is my thing. I think this is the only thing that kind of grinds my teeth is that when you hear people and commentators or even fans going, he's a power hitter. You know what? Maybe so against much smaller men. I want to see how well he hits against bigger guys, you know. Even with Sugar Shane Mosley, who's got a tremendous jaw, so I can't really reflect on that and saying that he's a big puncher because, let's be honest, nobody's ever really knocked out Shane Mosley except for the late rest in peace Vernon Forrest, and that was really off of a case of a headbutt. But with Canelo Alvarez, is he a big puncher at 154? Can he take out a guy that's a natural 154? I'm yet not convinced. I'd like to see him get in with a 154-pound guy, and let's see if he can tee off with those big body shots. Let's see if he can tee off with those combinations. I'd like to find out a little bit more. I'm still very curious. I need to see him get in with a guy that's going to be there. And basically, the game plan Josecito had here, Gabriel, to me, if it was a guy that was his size, that's the game plan you want. Be able to move. Show him angles. Use your jab. Return the body shots. But this was a smaller guy punching at a much bigger heavy bag.
Yeah, it's, you know, I thought it was over as soon as the fourth. You know, you could start to see it go in the third. The plan was to kind of get, you know, Canelo is a very patient fighter. He stays behind the jab. He's almost got a counterpuncher's mentality. He always kind of has. I think that's the thing that stuck out to me when I first watched him, you know, several years ago, I think before even Golden Boy signed him, when people started talking about this kid, Sal Alvarez, I didn't even know that his name was Canelo until later. What I always liked about him was that he was kind of a finesse boxer for a Mexican. He wanted to move, and he talked about how he admires a lot of the defensive guys of, you know, throughout history, and that they've kind of tried to take from that. They want more of a classic defensive style,
right?
That's a safe, you know. But at the same time, he's got a really nice offense. But the thing is, you know, I was reading through and reviewing my notes for the last like week or so, and I'd been writing Al Bernstein's. I did a review that's on Max Boxing right now of his book, 30 Years, 30 Undeniable Truths About Boxing, Sports, and TV, and he talked about evaluating like young heavyweights, but. You could apply that to any prospect. If you want to see them get punched in the mouth, you want to see them get hit by a guy that doesn't go anywhere. You want to see them, you know, go some rounds. You want and Canelo can go rounds, but I haven't seen him with that real full, like, professional resistance. That's what Steve Kim calls it, the professional resistance. There's been guys that have given him troubling moments, like Gomez giving him movement. you know, Sintron kind of going bombs away for a moment and going all wild. Those are situations. You know, Baldemir gave him a little bit of experience, but was pretty much dead on his feet punching back. I want to see him in with somebody that's athletic, that's going to punch him back, that isn't at a complete disadvantage, whether it's a weight class thing or he's, you know, as old as Shane Mosley or older. I want to see him in with something like another champion. I know Richard Schaefer talked about that when they're out here for the Home Depot Center card when they did that quadruple header. But let's see it now. You know, Lopez, they tried, I guess, that step. Things fell through. But now it's time to do it.
Absolutely. You know, with Matthew Macklin, who had his sensational stoppage on the undercard of the top rank, but he's with Lou DiBella. I'd like to see Canelo maybe possibly getting in with him. I mean, I think that's a good lead-up with Macklin having his win. And even though he's at 160, I still say that I think that match would be a pretty good matchup. You know, now that Austin Trout is going to be busy with Miguel Cotto.
Yeah, that's an interesting fight, Macklin. But, I mean, again, it's going to be a guy coming down in weight in the twilight of his career. Can, you know, Macklin get down to 154? I want to see him start looking at around, you know, around his own neighborhood.
I just don't see that right now happening. I think there's going to be a case of, well, there's nobody available, you know.
Well, there's that, yeah.
And unless they end up throwing Alfredo Angulo to the dogs. You know, here's a guy that he just got out of, being incarcerated falsely and trying to get back himself, getting back into the ring, hasn't had a fight. I think that the people of Canelo are going to be smart about it. And if I was part of that team, I would say the same thing. Let's go after your countryman, Alfredo Angulo, who's going to be rusty, who still has a knockout on the back of his mind. That's the fight that they should go lead up to. But that's not the fight us hardcore fight fans want to see.
Yeah. I would, just kind of thinking, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the schedule and just looking around. There isn't a lot available for him.
Lawrence is not going to happen. That's not a style match that he wants to get in. He doesn't want to engage with. We have Lawrence's manager on numerous times, and he said it to us a bunch of times. You know, when they were looking for an opponent at 154 after the Ortiz fallout, they were like, well, hey, we're here. We're available. Come on, let's make this happen. And that should have been a fight that shouldn't have been so difficult to make because he is under the Golden Boy banner. But guess what? There was some nails and some pulling of teeth to even make him even listen, even have a conversation of that fight. And we heard what Canelo said about it, didn't want that fight. And even himself thought that it was a bad matchup.
Well, yeah, there you go. I mean, I don't know. It'll probably be to start looking overseas, start digging up the usual suspects. I mean, you know, at this point, it's the thing, though. You know, he's only 22, but it's the training wheels of having a belt. Why have a belt if you can't defend it, you know? I mean, you got the winner of Austin Trout versus Miguel Cotto. That could be definitely a viable fight for him. Certainly if it's Miguel Cotto, that's a huge fight. You know, he could. I don't know if Canelo's going to end up fighting again by the end of the year.
Waiting for the Cotto, I think that he's banking on and hoping that Cotto gets past Austin Trout. I'm not really sure if he is.
Well, from a financial standpoint, yeah, you've got to be rooting for Miguel Cotto if you're him.
Absolutely.
But what about a Carlos Molina?
Or
a Carlos Quintana?
Yeah, definitely. I like to see both of those guys get their chance. But, you know, like I said, the styles make fights. And I'm not sure if those two styles, who are not – they're not similar at all. Carlos Molina, he is a volume puncher. He does have some – he does bring some good ring generalship. But he also can maul you up and shut down your combinations. We saw that when he faced James Kirtland. Is that something Canelo wants to go up against and possibly jeopardize a big fight that is down the road for himself? Not sure if he wants to do that. Carlos Quintana, southpaw, slick, and can punch. That's another guy. I don't think the Canelo camp and Canelo being a promoter, I think a lot of folks forget about that. Canelo thinking like a promoter, thinking, hey, guess what? I don't want to fight this Puerto Rican guy. Why? Because it could lead for me not to make a lot of money with the next Puerto Rican guy by the name of Miguel Cotto.
Yeah, I think that would be a nice route to go. And again, you know, you got Quintana, who's more of an independent. You can make those kind of fights. And certainly, you know, Molina is another guy that's an independent. It's not the best style in the world, but it is somebody you want to, you'd want. That's the kind of fight that you would take, I think, if you're a Canelo. He doesn't hit that very hard. Hit very hard. He's a crafty, cagey guy who's going to give your guy much-needed rounds. Is it going to be a pretty fight to watch? Well, no, but I think Canelo's jab and his ability to keep range, his patience, and the fact that he doesn't go outside the box so much, he doesn't make a lot of big, glaring mistakes. He kind of takes his time with things. That could be an interesting fight.
I think so, too. I really would love to see that fight. Let's pass it to some fight fans here on Leaving the Ring. 347-215-7598. You can speak to myself, Dave Duenas, or my co-host, Gabriel Montoya, or the man behind the switchboard, Mr. David Chin. Let's get Mr. Alvarado, who wants to talk about a fight we haven't even talked about, which I was really – I enjoyed it a whole lot, man. It's a great fight. I love to see the rematch. When we talk about Soto and Madonna having a rematch, Rocky Martinez and Miguel Beltran Jr., who's supposed to be on – Miguel was supposed to be on, but he's up in Mexico, and there's no reception. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to catch up with them a little later, maybe next week. But what a war. So let's hear from Mr. Alvarado what his thoughts are about that fight. But I got to say, man, that was a war. We could watch that every week. Put both of those fights, Soto and that fight together, and we could watch it. And we're going to have a lot of fun no matter what every Saturday night with a couple of brewskis watching those fights. What's up, brother? You're on live right now.
Yeah, I was watching that fight, and, I mean, I think that was a fight of the night on the two cards. I liked it even better than the Jesus Soto Caraz and Marcos Maidana fight. And I just think that I thought Beltran had done enough to win the fight. What do you guys think?
I thought so, too. Honestly, I really thought that he had the heavier punches. They were shorter. They were crisp. And every time he did land a combination, Rocky backed up. And it wasn't like a normal backup. He took 2-3 steps backwards. But obviously people were looking at the volume, you know. And that's the tricky thing is what are the judges looking for? What are the fans looking for? You know, a volume of slapping punches. And I know Gabriel's not a big fan of the slap punches, you know, in the ring. You know, I could somewhat tolerate it. But with Miguel Beltran, he was landing some really good shots and landing some really big uppercuts, you know. So I was a bit surprised that the sway went to Rocky Martinez, but I wasn't disappointed. This was a great, great fight. And when you talk about what fight was better, this is how I look at those two fights on that same night on different cards. I don't like to have a favoritism. It's almost like my kids. I'm going to love them both the same. So I'm going to do the same thing with both those fights. I'm going to love them both the same. They were really great.
Yeah, they were. You know, and it was violent. It was a violent fight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It really was. I mean, it was a perfect capper. It was Ryan McEnana who was right about two people over from me. We both looked at each other and he said, you know, this is a perfect appetizer to the main event. I mean, it really kind of got everybody just roaring, especially after the Guillermo Rigondeaux fight, which, you know, he's a very talented fighter. I'm a big proponent of his, but the fight wasn't particularly exciting, I think, because Rigondeaux figured out, you know, I can get hurt by this guy a little bit. I can't really hurt him. I better just outbox him. But back to this fight, you know, I thought that Beltran, yeah, he landed the cleaner, harder blows. And Dave, while I'm not above a good slap every now and then, yeah, you're right. The volume didn't do it for me. It was the clean punches that rocked Rocky and backed him to the ropes and had him kind of changing posture throughout the fight. I just thought Beltran just did a little bit more. I mean, it was a great, great fight. And in some ways, nobody loses because I think they've got to have a rematch of it. It was tremendous. And it goes to show you, too, well, you know, Golden Boy's card, you just looked at it, particularly the undercard, and went, that's going to be – every one of those fights is going to be worth seeing. We need to talk about Leo Santa Cruz at some point here. But you just knew, looking at them, that they were good. On paper, you looked at the top-ranked card and went, this is not so good. This fight was a big surprise. This was an absolute hidden gem and tremendous, tremendous battle.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, big time.
What did you think of Leo Santa Cruz? I personally was very impressed, man. I remember last week I said I don't think he's going to be able to stop Morel. I think it's going to be – it's a bad style matchup. It's a trap. Morel came out looking to bang, which is always a bad sign for a 36-year-old smaller weight class guy who never had much power to begin with. But, man, Leo Santa Cruz, the way he digs to the body, then comes back upstairs, mixes it up with like a jab to your chest, and then comes back with a nice hook and an uppercut. I mean, he's like a young Margarito, very fresh. Just an exciting little buzzsaw of a fighter, man.
I got to say, I think he's really well-rounded when he throws his combinations. He's very precise in where he wants to put his punches at. I like the kid a lot. I want to see more of him. And I was honestly, I was too very impressed. You know, I didn't think he was going to be able to stop Morel, but he did. He did exactly what he had to do. He chopped him up. You know, it's that old expression, chopping that wood. He really chopped that wood with him, and he made him sit back on the stool and rethink, and made him feel his age, which is that past that 30. And for a little guy, that's dinosaur time. And guess what? He was Flintstoning out. He didn't want to come out.
Nope. Yeah, it was exactly what you want to do to an old guy.
What was that, brother?
Leo Santa Cruz is just a punch throwing machine. I mean, that guy is enjoyable to watch.
Oh, definitely. Definitely enjoyable, man. Hey, thank you, brother, for calling in. I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
All right, brother. Thank you.
There you go. I mean, Leo Santa Cruz. Every time I even think of anybody with the last name Santa Cruz, I always think about the hippies over here in Northern California. That's our wharf and that's our beach and stuff. But this kid doesn't ride the waves. This kid is like he's a big crash of waves. And anybody that he decides to step in, they're going to be in for it. They're definitely going to be in a fight. Now we got to step and see where he goes from there. Who do you want to see him up against? Who do you want to see this kid get tested with? You know, I definitely want to see what he does next in terms of who is he going to be matched with.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think they've just got to pencil in some dates with this guy and keep him active, keep him fighting. We talk about like Golovkin, you know, a hidden gem that's now brought to the light. Leo Santa Cruz is a guy that's every fight he comes into his own more and more and more. He's just such confidence now. I mean, I was there for his title win. Wasn't able to be there for this one. But it was he is really going to be something special, somebody that we're going to enjoy for the next few years. I mean, where do you go with him, you know?
At
118, it's kind of fleshing out a little bit.
Right, exactly, you know. But here's my thing is how long does he stay at 118?
That's the thing. You know, yeah, you've already established him. Now you've established him on pay-per-view. You know, who do you take on? I mean, you go after a Cazares. You go after, you know, I don't know. You know, who would be acceptable to HBO? That's going to be a big thing. You know, will they just allow him to kind of buzz through kind of older guys? Or, you know, is he going to have to go up to 122? Is he going to have to figure out, you know, navigate his way into that title picture there. It's going to be interesting. But I'm sure, you know, Showtime and Golden Boy, that alliance, will afford him a couple of guys. I think now he's also working with Heyman. They'll afford him a couple of guys that probably shouldn't be in there with him. But I think the key thing with a guy like him is to keep him sharp, keep him in the gym, keep the TV audiences aware of him. The big fights will come. He's a young fighter. The big fights will come, you know, probably next year.
Exactly, and that's the one thing that I wanted to point out. That he's a young fighter, and the big fights would come. There's a fight. This, you know, I hate to see kids get rushed. I don't know if we're a bit too excited too early on for this guy. You know, because let's not take it for granted. Eric Morales was a much older fighter, and he was in tough with Abner Morris, who gave him all he can handle as well too. Could have been that, you know, those old legs finally caught up, that old body finally gave in. So, but I still want to see Santa Cruz again. I want to see what he's able to do. I like watching guys just grow to see a little bit more. But let's go on our fight schedule, Gabe. I don't know if you're ready. Let's throw out our fight schedule out there for this upcoming weekend of fights.
Yeah, just 1 second. I'll pull it up. And it's actually a fight that I think we'll definitely get into as we move along, the Burns versus Mitchell. But we'll start with Friday night. at the Sands Casino in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. On NBC Sports, Gabriel Rosado, 20-5 versus Charles Whitaker, 38-12-2. In support there, you got Ronald Cruz, 17-0 versus Antoine Smith, 21-4-1. I'm going with Gabriel Rosado. I think, you know, they're kind of building a little bit of a little something with him here, a little bit of excitement.
Of a buzz, right?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a buzz. I know he's got the losses, but some guys are better than their losses, or their record would make them appear.
Exactly.
I like Rosado in this one. I like him by like late TKO. I don't know about you.
I like Rosado. I think that he's a very sturdy fighter, he sticks to what he knows. Even though he does try to add a little bit, and he's been working on trying to add a little bit to his arsenal, but he's familiar with his body. He's familiar with his combinations. He's just familiar with himself. So I'm going to go with them too.
And then moving right along, because I know you and I are both absolutely starving. At the Chumash Casino in Santa Ynez, California, on Showtime, Showbox, Jonathan Romero, 21-0 versus Efrain Esquivas, 16-1. This is an interesting fight, man. This is a tough little fight.
Yeah, it is a good little fight. I gotta say, you know, we had Efrain. We were able to chop it up with them back at the Extreme Boxing. And Efrain had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, you know what I mean? He felt like, hey, I got suckered in my last fight where it caused me to lose. But this time around, you know, it's going to be a different story.
Yeah, I mean, and he's facing, you know, a guy that is, you know, he doesn't spell Jonathan normal. It's a really bizarre name. I'm looking at it. Jonathan. Are you a Jonathan or a Jonathan? Romero. But he's an undefeated fighter, and I don't know a hell of a lot about him. You know, he's fought in California before. He's Colombian, and he's kind of one of those Colombians. You know, he's fought most of his career there.
Do we really need to find out? I mean, come on, Colombians come to fight. Really tough characters, you know, guys that they don't.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing because you know, guys at work listen to the show. But my boss, okay, my big boss who I work with side by side, he went out in the field and he was working. He was on his knees doing a layout, and one of the guys that worked for me took a picture of him, and he's making up a poster. Just emailed it to me. It says I'll read it to you. It's just hilarious. It says, "I don't always work hard, but when I do, I work on my knees."
That's great. That's hilarious. But unbelievable. Like, what are you laughing about? I don't know much about the guy. I know he's a Colombian guy who's going to come forward. He has fought, you know, a couple times in the States.
Right.
And he took out, you know, Adolfo Landeros, who's kind of a shopworn guy. He went the distance with him. He didn't take him out. Had the split decision win over Chris Avalos. I don't know. You know, I tend to think that he's going to be more active, more of a problem, because he's taller, he's rangier, he's a little bit longer than Efrain is, who's going to have to get inside to work that body early, slow down his movement. It's a tough fight. I think it can go either way. I kind of lean towards Romero, but, you know, I'm not taking anything away from Esquivias because of the loss that he suffered. He did seem like he had a chip on his shoulder and that he wanted to get things done. In support there, Roman Morales, 11-0 versus Jonathan Arellano, 13-0-1. This is a tough fight, man. This is a real challenge for both men. I really like Jonathan Arellano. He's a tough, all-action kid, always comes in shape. He's a gym rat.
And he always has a smile when he's at the gym. But this, when we went down there to Riverside, he was not very sociable, if you noticed that. He was really focused. I even asked him, I go, man, you're really focused for this fight. He just looked at me and gave me that approval, like, yes, I am.
Yeah. He's a kid that knows he can't afford to lose. You know, he can't he's got to keep moving forward. He's got to get on his winning ways, you know, and he's an exciting action fighter, but he hasn't quite broken through.
No.
This is a chance to break through. It's for the vacant WBC Latino Super Bantamweight title, which I know people will go all, you know, yet another belt, but this is a major stepping stone for both guys.
Absolutely.
You know, and you've got Morales, who can move a bit. He doesn't have a lot of power, but he can box. I like Arellano in this one to kind of impose himself physically, get in there, get to the body, but box smart, use that jab to kind of get out of the pocket or safely enter into the pocket.
Right.
He has a tendency to brawl a bit, but he's a smart guy, and I think he's going to use his boxing skills and take a UD in this one. I think it's going to be an excellent fight.
It's going to be an excellent fight. Yeah, I think he's going to learn a lot from this fight, and I think if he wins the strap, we're going to see a different Jonathan.
I think so. You know, I think he could go to another level. It's a big, big fight for him, man. It's a hell of a moment. And then we move on to Saturday. This is a fight I've been looking forward to for a long time. At the Scottish Exhibition Center in Glasgow, Scotland, Ricky Burns versus 34-2 versus Kevin Mitchell, 33-1 for the WBO lightweight belt. This is going to be all action. This is going to be
all action.
A wire-to-wire fight. You know, Mitchell's got more knockouts. You know, he's got 24 knockouts in 34 fights. Burns has only got 9 in 36 fights. But both guys come to fight. They both come to get after it. They're going to be in great shape. You know, Burns is riding high after, you know, wins over Paulus Moses, Michael Katsidis, taking out Nicky Cook in one, which was a really freaky fight because of the
right
sudden injury to Nicky Cook. I don't think that really had anything to do with Ricky Burns. And then you got Kevin Mitchell, you know, who had that loss to Michael Katsidis, where he got blown out in like 3 rounds.
Right.
Seemed to find himself all of a sudden. It's a whole different dimension. He can move and he can box to set up that power. He did that with, you know, John Murray. Did it well, putting Felix Laura down in the second, but, you know, coming out with the points win.
Right. Sometimes that a loss can just make you rethink your game plan and make you really soul search. And I think that's what happened with Mitchell. He soul searched and he found out, you know what, I got to go back to the drawing board. And he's a student of the game. We're seeing it now with the wins that he's been having.
Yeah. Who you got in this? I don't
know. You know, I like Burns a lot, too, because he throws a lot of punches, and he's a tough kid. But, you know, it's kind of hard to pick against Mitchell, who's been on an ultra-high. But both of these guys really want it. I don't know. It's a good matchup. I'll let you go first.
I'm taking Mitchell. I like his versatility. I think his power is real. Like you said, the loss has helped him to figure some things out. Sometimes that just kind of kickstarts you or really opens you up. And I think that's the case here. Maybe Burns' style is all wrong for him, but I think the tendency of Burns to kind of come to brawl and come forward, Mitchell should be able to be the boxer puncher in this one to great effect. I like him to win by decision. Wouldn't be surprised if he drops Burns at some point, though.
But see, here's the thing is there's a lot of emotions behind this fight. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, Burns can obviously suck him in the throwing what he's learned and what he's been committed to. That's
and he's
really
got home canvas advantage, too.
Exactly.
He's a Scottish guy. You know?
You know, so I think that Mitchell's got to be almost like what Sergio Martinez was, a disciplined, focused, and stick to the game plan because Burns is obviously going to come to try to burn him. Good matchup. You know what? I'm going to go with Burns. I think that he may be able to take it. Maybe not outthink him, but maybe out-hustle him in the department of throw a lot of punches. Just keep doing it. Just keep going. Whether or not if he's able to take the punch of Mitchell, we're going to find out on that special night.
In Wroclaw, Poland. Oh, man, why do I always get these names? Krzysztof, there's a guy with a serious Russian name taking on Francisco Palacios, 46-2-1 versus 21-1. I know I should be able to pronounce it, but, you know, Vlodarczyk, there you go, for the WBC Cruiserweight belt. Let's get Ad Sweet Boxing to come on. I know he can probably pronounce his name.
Right.
I'm going with the guy whose name I can't pronounce.
I'll follow right behind with you on that one.
Yeah, I like Palacios. Palacios got skills, but I just don't see this happening. At the Gimnasio Polo Funcional in Los Mochis, Mexico. I can say that. Juan Sanchez, 14-1-1 versus Rodel Mayol, 31-5-2 for the IBF Junior Bantamweight belt. Jorge Arce, 66-2 versus Mauricio Martinez, 36-12-1. Arce is like James Brown, man. He is the hardest working man in boxing.
Yes,
it's like every week the guy's got a fight. I'm taking Arce. I'm taking Sanchez. I've never really been a big Rodell Mayo guy.
I'm going to go with the same picks.
Yeah, and that is your weekend fight schedule. I mean, there's at the Emperor's Palace in Kempton Park, South Africa, Florante Candes, 25-6-1 versus Hecky Budler, 20-1, or at the Cebu Sitter Waterfront Casino in Cebu, Philippines. Just someday I got to go there. Rocky Fuentes, 33-6-2 versus Myung Ho Lee, 15-1. Milan Melindo, 27-0 versus Jean Perez, 19-4-1 in support. And that is your weekend fight schedule.
And there you go. You know, we talked about a lot of the fights that's upcoming up. There's other things in the boxing news that we did wanted to touch on, but we're not going to have a chance. But we did talk about the Ponce de Leon and Johnny Gonzalez. Well, I did. I did talk about that. You know, we even though
rematch.
That, rematch. Okay. That's what I was going to say. Rematch. Let's see that. You know, there's like three rematches. Off of that Saturday night alone, we got to definitely get another chance of seeing them. And just throw it out there for us, man. Just put it all on one same night. You know, make us all happy here in the boxing world. Anyways, I'm your host, Dave Duenas, my host with Gabriel Montoya, the man behind the switchboard, Mr. David Chen. Be safe, don't drink and drive, and everybody make sure you get back home to your families.
Peace. I'll see you next week.